showers and thunderstorms with a low around 70. Thursday, pretty much the same. Hot and humid, partly sunny, 20% chance of showers. High in the mid-90s. The heat index is expected to reach around 101 by Thursday afternoon. Thursday evening, partly cloudy skies with a high in the lower, with a low in the lower 70s. Then on Friday, hot and humid, partly sunny, high in the mid-90s. The heat index is expected to be around 100 on Friday in the afternoon. Currently at the studios of AM 920 WGNU, we have 78 degrees under mostly clear skies. Lambert Field is reporting 79. Stay tuned now. It's time for the award-winning wake-up call with your host, Liz Brown. She's up next. We'll take another look at your traffic and weather in the bottom of the 6 o'clock hour. I'm Howard Morton for AM 920 WGNU.
Steve Largen, President and CEO of CTIA, the Wireless Association.
These days, drivers face all kinds of distractions.
Welcome to Wonder Burger. Can I take your order, please?
I'll have a double cheeseburger, a large...
Come on now, boys, you're going to have to settle down. It's really hard to concentrate with you fighting like that.
Before your wireless phone becomes a distraction, stop. Drive safely. Never take notes or look up phone numbers while you drive. In bad traffic or weather, save your call for later. Dial sensibly and use a hands-free device.
Sorry, it's really bad out. I've got to hang up.
You know, your wireless phone can be your best safety tool to call for help, stop a crime, or help someone in need. However you use it, remember, with wireless, safety is your call.
The wireless industry reminds you to drive safely. For more information, visit www.wirelesssafety.org.
My baby was born too early, and now he's struggling to stay alive. He's such a trooper. I know they're doing everything they can to save him.
More and more babies in America are being born dangerously early. So early their lives hang in the balance. Despite the best medical care, thousands don't get through the first month. Premature birth is growing at an alarming rate in the United States. One in every eight births. For decades, the March of Dimes has saved babies by funding medical breakthroughs and by fighting for all babies to have access to the care they need. Help us stop the crisis of premature birth. For information or to help, go to marchofdimes.com. The baby we save may be your own.
20 years ago, my son wouldn't have survived. Now, he has a fighting chance.
Thursday morning at 7, a look at the politics of oil. Did you know that since 1988, oil companies have spent close to $400 million lobbying Congress? Part of their payoff was the Energy Security Act of 2003 that gave billions in tax incentives for oil and gas production, regardless if new wells actually produced any oil. Similar scenarios exist in countries all over the world. Now, since we're in the stage of peak oil production, is energy at any price worth it? You won't want to miss the wake-up call Thursday morning at 7 when Bob Williams, Project Director for the Center for Public Integrity, digs deep into the oil industry's grip on world politics.
Fix a faucet. Put up a new shelf. Organize a closet. Rip out an old carpet. Hi, I'm Bob Vila. No matter what type of home renovation you're planning, put this at the top of your to-do list. Check your family's tetanus booster status. Any minor wound, such as a cut or scrape, can put you at risk for tetanus infection. Maybe you wear safety gear to help reduce wounds, but an up-to-date vaccination called the TD booster is your only sure protection. Because you need a routine vaccine every 10 years to prevent both tetanus and diphtheria, another potentially fatal disease. If it's been more than 10 years since your last TD booster, then it's not just your house that's out of date, it's you. Contact your health care provider or local health clinic to find out if it's time for a tetanus booster to keep your protection strong. If it's been 10, do it again. A public service message from the National Foundation for Infectious Diseases and this station. To learn more, visit nfid.org.
Last year, partly because we tipped you off about it, the EPA canceled a program that would have paid parents in Florida to allow testing of pesticides on their children. But now the EPA is poised to allow a similar study on adults by not coming up with ethical rules to prevent case study abuse. This would not only involve pesticides, but other commercial toxins. The only standards that would have to be met are those set up by the EPA, which has no research standards to base anything on. Does it ever end? We talk about this threat to your safety Wednesday morning at 8 with Rebecca Roos, Program Director for Public Employees for Environmental Responsibility, only on the award-winning Wake Up Call.
At 29, I'm probably a little young to fit your image of a veteran in a wheelchair. But the war in Iraq, like all wars, is taking its toll on our young men and women in uniform. I became paralyzed when the vehicle I was riding in turned over.
Jason came home to an intensive care unit, and we faced a bureaucratic nightmare just to get the services he needed. Thank goodness Paralyzed Veterans of America was there. They said, "You focus on your rehabilitation, and we'll take care of the rest."
Since 1946, Paralyzed Veterans of America has fought to ensure that our spinal cord injured veterans receive all the care they have earned. PVA also advocates for accessibility and civil rights for all people with disabilities and sponsors research to find a cure for paralysis.
Life is full of new challenges for our family.
Thank you, PVA, for helping us meet them.
Call 1-866-USA-4-PVA.
Time now for another edition of the Wake Up Call with Liz Brown. Views expressed on this program are not necessarily those of the staff, management, or advertisers of WGNU Radio. This broadcast is a production of Norman Broadcasting Company, Incorporated, and WGNU Radio, and is intended solely for the information and entertainment of our listening audience. Any rebroadcast, transcribing, recording, or other use of this material without the expressed written consent of Norman Broadcasting Company, Incorporated, and WGNU Radio is strictly prohibited. We ask that you govern your calls within the bounds of brevity and good taste. And now, the Wake Up Call with Liz Brown.
I think I'm hearing revolution in the air. I think I'm hearing revolution in the air. Tell my brothers, tell my sisters. I think I'm hearing revolution in the air. Tell my brothers, tell my sisters. Power. Please do not beg for power. Nobody is going to give it to you. You were born with power.
Some very sad news for all of you. The people who love peace all over the world. Martin Luther King was shot and was killed tonight in Memphis. Progress is being made. If you stick a knife in my back 9 inches and pull it out 6 inches, there's no progress. If you pull it all the way out, that's not progress. The progress is healing the wound
that's below me. I think I'm hearing revolution in the air. Tell me, brother, tell me, sister.
The hard truth is that not everyone is sharing in this city's splendor and glory. There are more poor than ever, more families in trouble, more and more people who need help but can't find it. A struggle against the common enemies of man, tyranny, poverty, disease, and war itself.
That all men are created equal. Yet many are denied equal.
And so we say to all in this nation who would dare listen to us, black, white, Jew, Gentile, Asian, Latino, that we are brothers and sisters in a long and difficult struggle.
I think I'm hearing revolution in the air. Tell me, brother.
Good morning. Welcome to the Wake Up Call. This is Liz Brown, living my life as an African and loving it. 454-0400 is my phone number. 454-6609 is my fax. Get up, get to me. We have much, much, much to talk about. 454-0400 is the phone number. 454-6609 is the fax. And, we have much, much, much to talk about. 454-0400 is the phone number. Oh, my goodness. We have an incredible week coming at us. Just amazing things. We talked about how the World Trade Center, they bombed it. I mean, it was not what you thought it was. We also are going to have Amy Goodman on later on this week. She's going to be bringing us an incredible, you know, Amy Goodman from Democracy Now! She's going to be on the show later this week. We also are going to have Cindy Sheehan on the show tomorrow. That's, of course, if she doesn't get arrested today. It's my understanding that our good government is saying that Cindy Sheehan, the 48-year-old mother who lost a baby 25 years old, she wants to ask George W. Bush why. Apparently, she's now a threat to national security. You think? Since she's getting ready to take down a presidency, I guess that would make her a threat to national security. I think that they were surprised and are surprised at how much coverage Cindy Sheehan is getting in front of Crawford, Texas, the vacation home, the hideaway, the 319-day hideaway for George W. Bush. I guess so. I guess they are going to arrest her. Well, hopefully we will talk to her before she gets arrested tomorrow. Cindy Sheehan, Gold Star families. And the cool thing is that, you know why they're getting ready to fix and to arrest Cindy? Is because other families that have lost their sons are saying, well, hecky fire. I need to be down there, too, because I sure would like an answer to the same question that Cindy's asking George W. Bush. Starting today, Gold Star families from Pennsylvania, New Jersey, Arkansas, and other states whose loved ones have died as a result of the war will be joining one of their members, Cindy Sheehan. Cindy Sheehan, she has a simple question. She has a simple question for George W. Bush. And what is fascinating to me is, and I can't wait to hear Cindy talk about this, but the folks are out there saying, well, you talked to George W. Bush and you were down with this before. Okay. Once you get more information, you have a more informed opinion. I can't wait to hear what Cindy Sheehan is going to say about what George W. Bush told her. I mean, it's just like a woman who, or a man. Well, you loved your wife before. Well, that was before I caught her cheating on me. I don't feel the same today. Well, you loved your husband before, but that was before he started beating me. I don't feel the same today. You can't hold me to a non-fully informed opinion. I didn't have the information today that I had yesterday. I'm allowed to change my mind, and if I don't, that makes me a fool. You don't get all the evidence about an individual all at one time. We're all works in progress. Yeah, I loved my husband, but that was before he started beating me. I don't love him anymore. Yeah, Johnny was a good worker, but that was before he stole $300,000 from the company. He's not a good employee anymore. Yeah, I said he was a good employee, but I didn't know he was stealing $300,000 a month from the company. Yeah, I thought George Bush was honest when he said, this isn't about politics. And it turns out, well, dang, yes, it is. We're allowed to change our minds. No, it's not even changing our minds. I like to walk through life, and I would hope that all responsible adults would like to walk through life with fully informed and fully evolved positions. On Tuesday, I didn't have the information that I now have on Wednesday. Yeah, I thought Hillary Clinton was cool when she first came out. But now that I've had a chance to see her in action, we ain't got nothing coming with Hillary. I thought she was cool back in 1992. But I was wrong. I was wrong. Because I didn't have a fully informed opinion. Because I hadn't had a chance to see her at work. You know, I like to think that we all kind of cool people. You know, you give folks a chance. They mess it up, I'll tell on you. I'm a middle child, I'll tell. I will tell. 454-0400 is my phone number. 454-6609 is my fax. My name is Liz Brown. This is the wake-up call. We have, of course, St. Louis Public Schools Watch coming up with us in the next hour. After that, we're going to be talking about human testing from the EPA. They won't let it go. They won't let it go. We can't have, and here is the irony, the wicked, twisted irony of the world that we live in. We have an administration that says no to stem cell testing. That's mucking about with human life. We can't do that. That's plain God. But shoot, if you want to test pesticides on humans, oh, bet, baby, bet. We can do that. But no stem cell testing that may cure all kinds of diseases. Oh, no, none of that. And then, of course, at 9 o'clock, we're going to be talking about CAFTA and how we, how we got took. One vote. We got took. And just to understand, folks, that's going to be in that 9 o'clock hour. So it's going to be a full rock and roll. Fasten your seatbelts. Got some information coming at your head this morning. Just in case you're not aware, in the first 8 days of August. Oh no, now it's 9 days. We've had 40 people, 40 service people, 40 soldiers dead in Iraq. For what? And countless Iraqi children, women, and men are dying each day. Cindy Sheehan's son, Army Specialist Casey Sheehan, died in Iraq on April 4th, 2004. She has been in Crawford since August 5th. It's only been, what is it, August 9th? He's only been there 4 days. Bush is going to be there for a month. You know, I mean, the reason that they're talking about removing her for national security is because she's getting so much press. And now that all these other families are headed towards Crawford, they are scared to death. This is a PR nightmare for George Bush. PR nightmare. And the real reality is the nightmare is for the families who get the knock on the door with the uniformed service person. That's the real nightmare. Knock on the door to say that your 19-year-old baby Lavina Johnson is dead. Non-suicide, non-combat, gunshot wound to the head, left side of her head is shot, she right-handed, non-suicide, self-inflicted, non-combat, wound to the head, how'd that happen, hole on the left side of her head, she right-handed. Families need to go, Families need to go to Crawford. And here's the thing. What a lovely gesture. What a courageous, not even courageous, because this is what you're supposed, this is what you get paid over $200,000 a year for. Your job is to talk to the American people. Your job is not to hold town hall meetings with fake people in it, asking fake questions and giving fake answers. Your job is to answer the real questions with real answers. My name is Liz Brown. This is the Wake Up Call. We got more to talk about. 454-0400 is the phone number. Get to me. We ain't done here. We ain't even started yet. Stay with me.
Good morning, St. Louis, 31 minutes after the hour of 6 o'clock at AM 920 WGNU. I'm Howard Morton with a look at this hour's traffic and weather. This hour's traffic is sponsored by AutoZone. Northbound 55 between Richardson and Germania, no problems reported. Eastbound 44 between Meraz Overpass and Big Bend is looking good. Eastbound 40 between Boone Bridge all the way into 141. Nothing to report there as well. Eastbound 70 between Earth City Expressway and Hanley, everything's on the move. Northbound 270 from 55 to Doherty Ferry, everything is looking good this hour. Westbound 270 from the Canal Bridge to West Florissant, no problems to report. Westbound 5570 from 3rd Street on the PSB, everything looks good in your 630 commute. Westbound 64 from 15th. Onto the Poplar Street Bridge, look for no problems there. Westbound Kingbridge traffic from the Illinois Bank to Memorial Drive, everything is running smoothly. Northbound Illinois, or Route 3, from Monsanto to the PSB, everything, nothing to report there as well. Eastbound Route 30 at High Ridge, there's an accident reported. The vehicle is off the roadway in both directions. Tesson Ferry between Lindbergh and Gravois. Paving operations will have a brief slowdown. Eastbound 40 between Van Deventer. Look for that exit to be closed through August due to construction work. You can use Kings Highway, Market, or Grand to get around. This hour's traffic has been sponsored by AutoZone. Without regular oil changes, you'll send your car's engine to an early grave. Get to AutoZone today. Change your oil and get more life out of your car. Get in the zone. AutoZone. Now taking a look at your WGNU forecast for today, tomorrow, and Friday. Hot, humid, partly sunny skies today. 20% chance of showers is possible this afternoon. High in the mid-90s. The heat index is expected to be around 102 by this afternoon. This evening, partly cloudy. 20% chance of showers and thunderstorms. Low around 70. Thursday, hot and humid, partly sunny. 20% chance of showers. High in the mid-90s. Heat index should be around 101 by the afternoon on Thursday afternoon. And on Friday, pretty much the same. Hot and humid, partly sunny, high in the mid-90s. Heat index should be around 100 by late in the afternoon on Friday. Currently at the studios of AM 920 WGNU, 78 degrees here, 79 at Lambert under clear skies with some haze. Stay tuned for more of Liz Brown and the award-winning Wake Up Call. We'll take another look at your news, traffic, and weather in the 7 o'clock hour. I'm Howard Morton for AM 920 WGNU.
AM 920 WGNU is the home of Radio Free St. Louis. If you're outside the metropolitan area, pick us up at WGNU.net.
I know the place to shop for all your appliance needs. Sears, 3425 Union, black-owned and black-operated, Jerome Williams. Sears carries the top six appliance brands, Kenmore, Whirlpool, Maytag, GE, Amana, and Frigidaire. Sears also has the latest in electronics, TVs, VCRs, camcorders, and DVD players. Now, if you find a lower price on an identical branded item with the same features currently available at another local retail store, Sears will match that price plus give you 10% off the difference. That's the Sears Price Match Plus policy. So, save yourself a trip. Stop at Sears first and get a low price promise plus a great selection for your home and garden needs. It's all at your local Sears store right there at 3425 Union, Jerome Williams, 389-9700.
Thursday morning at 7, a look at the politics of oil. Did you know that since 1988, oil companies have spent close to $400 million lobbying Congress? Part of their payoff was the Energy Security Act of 2003 that gave billions in tax incentives for oil and gas production, regardless if new wells actually produced any oil. Similar scenarios exist in countries all over the world. Now, since we're in the stage of peak oil production, is energy at any price worth it? You won't want to miss the wake-up call Thursday morning at 7 when Bob Williams, Project Director for the Center for Public Integrity, digs deep into the oil industry's grip on world politics. And now, today's diary entry from the Girl Blog from Iraq.
Saturday, August 30th, 2003. My brother, E, was out at 8 a.m. this morning getting gasoline for the car. He came home at 12 p.m. in a particularly foul mood. He had waited in a line of angry, hostile Iraqis for 3 hours. Gasoline lines drive people crazy because prior to the war, the price of gasoline in Iraq was ridiculously low. A liter of gasoline cost around 20 Iraqi dinars when one U.S. dollar equaled 2,000 Iraqi dinars. In other words, 1 liter of gasoline cost 1 cent. We dragged E out of the house at 12:30 to go visit my aunt on the other end of the city. We heard the usual instructions before we left. Stop at checkpoints, return before dark, and if anyone wants the car, give them the keys. Don't argue, don't fight it. We climbed into a battered, old, white 1984 Volkswagen. People are avoiding using nice cars that might tempt hijackers. Nice is anything made after 1990. I mentally debated putting on the sunglasses, but decided against it. No need to attract any undue attention. I said a little prayer to keep us safe as I rummaged around in my bag, checking for my weapon. I can't stand carrying a pistol, so I carry around a big, red, switchblade hunting knife. You don't want to mess with Riverbend.
Riverbend, the girl blog from Iraq, was a computer programmer before the war. Not anymore. In her diary of the occupation, she describes daily the new, confined way of life, especially for women amid the mayhem. Last year, partly because we tipped you off about it, the EPA canceled a program that would have paid parents in Florida to allow testing of pesticides on their children. But now, the EPA is poised to allow a similar study on adults by not coming up with ethical rules to prevent case study abuse. This would not only involve pesticides, but other commercial toxins. The only standards that would have to be met are those set up by the EPA, which has no research standards to base anything on. Does it ever end? We talk about this threat to your safety Wednesday morning at 8 with Rebecca Roos, Program Director for Public Employees for Environmental Responsibility. Only on the award-winning Wake-Up Call. This is the award-winning Wake-Up Call with Liz Brown. Don't leave home without it.
One always picks the easy fight. One praises fools, one smothers light. One shifts from left to right. Politics, the art of the possible.
Welcome back, welcome back, welcome back to the Wake Up Call. This is Liz Brown,
living my life as an African and loving it. 454-0400 is my phone number. 454-6609 is my fax. You need to get up. You need to get to me. We have so much stuff to talk about. 454-0400 is my phone number. Get to me. Good morning. You're on the wake-up call.
Good morning, Liz.
Good morning. Denise.
Yes, I was over at my mom's yesterday, and she showed me a letter that she got from the hospital social work social worker describing the new requirements for the Medicaid, Medicare.
Uh-huh.
It's terrible.
Can you give me that letter?
I see if she still has it.
Okay.
I can, I'll mail you a copy of it.
Yeah.
But anyway, though, the new requirements are, well, you know the little red card they have?
Mm-hmm.
They've been informed that they can no longer use that card.
Mm.
And also, they're going to be getting issued, another card. But anyway, though, they're losing their dental benefit.
Yep.
They're losing their optometry benefit.
Yep.
The right to go to the eye doctor.
Yep.
They can only go to the eye doctor once every 2 years.
Ain't that some stuff?
Uh-huh. They can only go to the eye doctor now once every 2 years.
And so for people of African descent where glaucoma is an issue and glaucoma testing evaluation is critical, you're telling our seniors that they can only go once every 2 years.
Once every 2 years.
Ain't that some stuff?
They can go to the eye doctor once every 2 years.
Ain't that some stuff?
And if they don't have, and they, they're no, their eyeglasses will no longer be covered.
That is correct.
The eyeglasses, the dentures will no longer be covered with dental benefits. The eyeglasses will no longer be covered.
And we're talking about who? We're talking about seniors, right?
You're talking about seniors.
We're talking about seniors.
And, it's equally something for children. Children who are on Medicaid. If they don't have all their immunization shots now, parents will have to pay co-pays for kids to get immunization shots. And if you're low income with about four or five kids, that's going to be something else.
Kids and seniors.
Uh-huh.
Kids and seniors. And the thing that just kills me about seniors, about no dental care.
We're going
to have a dentist on. And I want to do this show because I think it is critical that people understand the connection between your health and your teeth. I mean, you could have heart attacks because you're not tending to your teeth. It is not a luxury or something that is you can catch as catch can. It is critical that you stay on top of your teeth.
I work and I have dental insurance, but I went to the dentist, and when I got the bill back from the insurance company, it cost $129 just to have my teeth cleaned.
Mm.
So it and pharmacy, the copay is going up as far as pharmacy is concerned.
It's wicked. It's wicked and it's heartless and it is so dishonest. It is so dishonest. Thanks for your call, Denise.
Give me
the copy of that letter too, please.
All right.
Thank you. My name is Liz Brown. This is the wake-up call. You need to get to me. We have much, much, much to talk about. 454-0400 is my phone number. 454-6609 is my fax. And meanwhile, the rich get richer. Doctors that are testing new drugs are sworn to keep their research secret until drug companies announce the final results. But Wall Street firms are talking to the doctors about which drugs are working so that they know which companies to invest in when the companies make the announcement about the drugs. The rich keep getting richer off of drugs that you can't afford anymore. Ain't that some stuff? Ooh, we have much to talk about. 454-0400 is the phone number. 454-6609 is the fax. Get to me.
Did you know that you can have the leaf blocker gutter protection system installed by United Homecraft and never clean your gutters again? In fact, they guarantee it. The best part is, leaf blocker installs over your existing gutters. If your gutters are damaged and need to be replaced, United Homecraft can do that too. With one phone call, you can stay off that dangerous ladder, stop cleaning the mess from your gutters, and start enjoying yourself this fall. The leaf blocker system will also keep you from spending thousands of dollars in repairs to your home from water damage. Call United Homecraft today for a free, no-obligation estimate and save 15% during their preseason sale. From Missouri or Illinois, call 1-888-731-2052. That's 1-888-731-2052. The Leaf Blocker Gutter Protection System by United Homecraft, one of St. Louis' oldest and largest contractors. United Homecraft is a participating member of the iTex Trade Exchange. Your iTex Trade dollars are welcome.
This is your wake-up call, Global News Update. Dateline Caracas. The government of Venezuela has confirmed reports that it will suspend cooperation with the U.S. Drug Enforcement Administration. President Hugo Chavez says the agency has engaged in drug trafficking and espionage. He pledged to continue the war on drugs in his country, but not with the help of the DEA. Chavez says assistance from other agencies, such as those in France, Spain, Russia, and China, will be welcome. Other officials have accused the DEA of operating above the law of the land and outside the control or oversight of authorities in Venezuela. Last June, reports began to surface that the DEA appropriated illegal drug shipments and sabotaged several attempts to apprehend drug smugglers and traffickers in an effort to discredit Venezuela's reputation. And Dateline Chicago. Unconfirmed reports today that Supreme Court Justice John Paul Stevens has flown to Chicago in an effort to slow down or stop a recent grand jury indictment against President Bush and other administration officials. Two other Supreme Court justices are also said to be named as unindicted co-conspirators. The indictments have been suppressed because of the sensitive nature of the issues, which involve perjury and obstruction of justice. The investigation was undertaken by Special Prosecutor Patrick Fitzgerald due to the Valerie Plame CIA leak, but has gone into several other areas now, including the 2000 elections, the Iraq conflict, and the handling of the 9/11 crisis. This is your wake-up call, Global News Update.
Hello, this is Alfred Gurley, your host of the German Hit Parade radio program. Heard every Sunday afternoon from 2:30 till 4 here on WGNU. Enjoy the beautiful melodies and timely news from Germany as we make your Sunday afternoon just a little bit brighter. The German Hit Parade is the longest-running German program on radio in St. Louis, and I hope you make it part of your weekend listening. Every Sunday afternoon from 2:30 till 4, right here on AM 920 WGNU.
Thursday morning at 8, Cindy Sheehan, co-founder of Gold Star Families for Peace, joins us on the wake-up call from her encampment outside President Bush's ranch in Crawford, Texas. Cindy has been trying to see President Bush for the last several days in an effort to make him explain why the war in Iraq is a noble cause when it's based on a lie. Cindy lost her own son in the Iraq War last year. Now, Cindy and her group are being threatened with arrest on Thursday for posing a risk to national security. It's late-breaking, it's live, and it's only on the wake-up call with Liz Brown, Thursday morning at 8, the showdown in Crawford.
Scientists and doctors are agreeing more and more that diet can determine whether a person lives a long, healthy life or a life full of unnecessary disease and even death.
I have diabetes, and after gradually changing my diet and getting more exercise, I've noticed my sugar level has become stable and my feet don't swell as much.
My blood pressure has been high for 3 years. Once I stopped eating salt and slowed down on eating oily foods, my blood pressure has gotten back to normal.
It seems like I gained weight just by looking at food. But now that I had the knowledge, and most importantly the discipline, to make conscious healthy choices, my whole life has changed.
Obesity, diabetes, and heart disease cause millions of deaths each year. Every 45 seconds, someone in America suffers from a stroke. Join the battle against these controllable and preventable diseases. Listen to Healthy Alternatives.
Create a healthy future today.
last year, partly because we tipped you off about it, the EPA canceled a program that would have paid parents in Florida to allow testing of pesticides on their children. But now the EPA is poised to allow a similar study on adults by not coming up with ethical rules to prevent case study abuse. This would not only involve pesticides, but other commercial toxins. The only standards that would have to be met are those set up by the EPA, which has no research standards to base anything on. Does it ever end? We talk about this threat to your safety Wednesday morning at 8 with Rebecca Roos, Program Director for Public Employees for Environmental Responsibility, only on the award-winning Wake Up Call. It's the information you need to know about but can't find anywhere else on the dial. The award-winning Wake Up Call with Liz Brown.
Let me know what's real and going on below, but now you never show it to me, do you? And remember when I moved in you, the holy dark was moving too, and every breath we drew was hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah.
Welcome back, welcome back, welcome back to your the Wake Up Call. This is Liz Brown, LizzBrown.com. Check it out, WhiteRoseSociety.org. We are archived daily at theWhiteRoseSociety.org. And next Tuesday, I want to just remind you to keep your babies home and check out the Wake Up Call from 6 to 9 o'clock on Tuesday. We're going to have a show that has never been held before in the city of St. Louis, a discussion that's never had, quite frankly, has never been held anywhere in the city of St. Louis, and I dare say in the nation. This is a story of national and local importance. We're going to talk about firefighters. We're going to be talking about under the skin of firefighters. We're going to talk about what really goes on in firehouses, how firefighters post 9/11, pre 9/11, how they really respond to one another. We're going to have the Black Fire representatives from the Black Firefighters Union, representatives from the White Firefighters Union, to talk, to debate, to discuss on the Wake Up Call the reasons for their existence and the issues that confront this city on the issue of race in our fire department, the real fires in the firehouses in the city of St. Louis. We're going to be discussing that on the Wake Up Call. It's going to be an amazing show. In the 6 o'clock hour, we're going to be talking to the voice, the man, the person that started, man of African descent that started this issue back in the 60s, said, "I will never pay another dime to the firefighters union." And he's going to tell you why. Then in the 7 o'clock hour, I'll be joined by Paul Davis, the president of the Firefighters Union. And then in the 8 o'clock to 9 o'clock hour, we're going to be joined by representatives from FIRE, the Black Firefighters Association, representing approximately 300 black firefighters. Wayne Lester is going to be on the show to talk and to debate at the same time as Paul to discuss this issue. This is something that has never been done before. Y'all do not want to miss this. And by the by, did you know that we are the only fire department in the United States where the fire chief is not allowed to make assignments at firehouses? Oh, and we also have the first black fire chief in St. Louis history. We're going to talk about that. We're going to talk about that and so much more. That's next Tuesday, 6 a.m., 7 a.m., and 8 a.m. Ooh, do we have a lot of stuff to talk about. Howard Dean says he wants to give Republicans credit. Imagine that. Howard Dean wants to give the Republicans credit. You know what for? For putting the Democrats on the defensive and forcing them to fight on their own turf. Howard Dean is saying some stuff that you know, it's just something that it has to be said. He says Democrats need to stop being ashamed of being Democrats. You think? We need a message. It has to be clear. We need to make Democrats proud of their party. We need to take in the offensive and fighting on Democratic turf. We need to position ourselves as the party of change. Vote by vote, precinct by precinct, door by door, year by year, election by election. We need to take this country back for the people who built it. I like that line. 4540400 is my phone number. 4546609 is my fax. Ooh, these Democrats. How is it that the Democratic Party hasn't grabbed a hold of this story? How is it that the Democratic Party has not come out on front on this easy story? Scary old behind that. It is scary. Matt LeBlanc has memories of Iraq that he does not want to have. He was a gunner who protected convoys for the National Guard Company out of Bangor, Maine. Once during his 9-month tour in Iraq, his truck got separated from a convoy, and he couldn't raise anybody on the radio. Insurgents ambushed. He remembers tumbling out of the truck just as a roadside bomb went off, slamming him against the truck, breaking his coccyx, and knocking loose an eye tooth. He remembers pulling the driver out of the truck and laying down fire with his M249 machine gun until he thought the barrel of the gun would melt. And there are more memories he can't shake. Some are worse. Some include children. He agreed that the paper that took this story wouldn't print the details of what happened to the children. But this 41-year-old man cries when he talks about the details of what happened to the babies. He also supports the war, and he has little patience for those who don't. He says, I dream about it every bleepin' night. I am on so many drugs for nightmares. Sometimes, he says, days go by and I don't even know what day it is. He lives in a house in the woods with a lot of guns. He never suffered from mental illness before going to Iraq. But twice since he returned, he's put a gun barrel in his mouth or under his chin. Since the war, he has lost his house and his wife because of where his mind is. He says, there are some days when I get up and think, what the bleep? I lost my house, I lost my kids and everything. And everything I went over there to protect is gone. After he was discharged from Walter Reed Hospital last year, he was diagnosed with post-traumatic stress disorder, you think? The VA gave LeBron a 100% post-traumatic stress rating. He won't reveal how much money he received from the department, but those that are discharged with a 100% rating get a maximum payout, usually a check of about $2,000 a month. But check it out. Our good government, your good government, we support the war. We operation a mission accomplished. We care about our soldiers. Check it out. The Department of Veterans Affairs has decided to go back and review more than 70,000 cases of people that have been diagnosed with post-traumatic stress disorder. We're the Democrats on this issue. They aren't going back to make sure that they are still crazy from fighting a crazy war. They're going back to reevaluate them so they don't have to pay all this dang money. Just think about all the money that Halliburton has gotten. Just think about all the money that Brown and Root, the $7 cans of Coke that you pay for with your tax money. And they're going back to these poor slobs are only getting $2,000 a month for being crazy, certifiably crazy, thanks to the United States military. And our good government is going back to say, you know, well, no, you're not really all that crazy. Maybe $1,000 a month. Where the Democrats at? where the Democrats at. They don't want to pay $4.3 billion to our soldiers. But they sure will pay $4.3 billion to Halliburton. Now that's money well spent. Where the Democrats at. Oh, Lord. My name is Liz Brown. St. Louis Public Schools Watch is with us today. And so much more. Stay with me.
The progress is healing the wound, but the blow that's a low man.
I think I'm hearing revolution in the air. Tell me, brother.
But the hard truth is that not everyone is sharing.
WGNU, Granite City, St. Louis. 920 on your AM dial.
Here's the latest from ABC News. I'm Clarissa Douglas.
You know, it was just a Bonnie and Clyde style shootout.
Mark Gwynn, Tennessee Bureau of Investigation Chief, on yesterday's dramatic shootout at the Roane County Courthouse in eastern Tennessee. Inmate George Hyatt was being escorted out of a hearing when police say his wife Jennifer drove up in an SUV and began shooting. A police officer was killed. George Hyatt escaped.
These people are very desperate. They have nothing to lose at this point. They've already committed a murder. So we're treating them as some of the most dangerous fugitives we've ever tried to capture.
But Hyatt's brother Michael says George is not dangerous, just a little confused.
He's not a cold-blooded murderer, you know. He's just a normal person that probably has a few mental issues he needs to deal with.
Police are checking into leads that family members may be hiding the couple. About 300 people who live in Wayne, Michigan, are waiting for the all clear to return to their homes. They were evacuated before dawn after explosions and fire ripped through a chemical plant in nearby Romulus. Public Safety Director Charles Kirby says they're worried about dangerous fumes.
It's still airborne and it's solvent that's burning. So we're very concerned for the residents that live within that half-mile area.
They say the fire is so hot, it's melting the steel tanks that held the chemicals. An 18-year-old baseball fan is in custody after he dived from the upper deck at Yankee Stadium last night and landed in the net behind home plate. Friends say Scott Harper told them he just wanted to see if the net was strong enough to hold him. In Cedar Rapids, Iowa, U.S. District Judge Linda Reed was called for jury duty in a criminal case. The prosecutor, who knows her, asked during the course of jury questioning if she might have a problem sitting in judgment. Judge Reed replied, "I do it every day." So it should come as no surprise that she was excused from jury duty. This is ABC News.
My name is Sarah, and when I was about 17, I started Fry Farms. I sold our first load of pumpkins to a local Walmart. And one by one, my brothers came home from college to join me in the business. 10 years later, we're selling millions of cantaloupes, watermelons, and pumpkins that can be found in Walmart stores across the nation. Walmart appreciated the quality of the local produce, and the rural communities have thrived because of our business with Walmart. It makes me feel great. I love it.
John here. I'm running late. Construction at the tunnel.
The road to your business meeting is filled with obstacles.
Me again. I'm stuck on second. Nice parade.
Why not web conference with Microsoft Office Live Meeting and have productive meetings without leaving the office? Present to clients around the globe, collaborate in real time, even get instant feedback by taking a live poll. Try it free for 14 days at Microsoft.com/getlive. That's Microsoft.com/getlive or call 1-877-MEET-WEB today.
It's going to be a while.
Many teachers, nurses, police officers, and firefighters can't afford to live where they work. ABC's Pam Coulter explains.
Whether you're a school counselor in Kensington, Maryland,
I found it extremely surprising when I actually being shown the home,
or a National Guardsman who works with firefighters in Seattle,
we're really just pretty much priced out.
The American dream of home ownership is fading. The Center for Housing Policy says the median price of a home is now $225,000, out of reach of many nurses, teachers, and other civil servants. The nonprofit group's report said while home prices rose 20% in 18 months, wages for many workers stayed flat, leaving them far short of the income needed to buy a home. Pam Coulter, ABC News, Washington.
Two peacekeepers from the Philippines on duty in Haiti really enjoyed their R&R in Florida. They failed to return to Haiti, so the Philippine Army will get their passports canceled and wants the U.S. to find those soldiers and deport them. Clarissa Douglas, ABC News.
Thank you.
Good morning, St. Louis. This is Patrick Brandmeier with your WGNU News Update for the 7 o'clock hour. In the news this Wednesday, the investigation continues into an accident involving a vehicle that may have been covered by a safety recall. On Monday afternoon, 53-year-old Marta Bayer of St. Charles was killed when she jumped from her Ford Escape after her accelerator became stuck. It's still not known whether Bayer's vehicle was among the Ford Escapes recalled late last year for accelerator problems. For information on vehicle safety recalls, visit www.safercar.gov. St. Louis public school officials are trying to get kids and their parents ready for the new school year. The district yesterday kicked off its back-to-school campaign with a rally. Dr. Charlene Jones explains the purpose of the campaign.
The first thing we want to do is to make sure that the entire metropolitan area is thoroughly saturated with the message that St. Louis public schools starts before Labor Day.
Jones says if parents know that, they can be prepared for their children's first day of school. She says that means the first day can be spent learning and not dealing with paperwork. The first day of school for St. Louis Public Schools is August 22nd. The Missouri Homeland Security Council will hold its first meeting this morning at the Highway Patrol General Headquarters. Council members will discuss an emergency preparedness plan that Governor Matt Blunt will review on January 1, 2006. The council is charged with making recommendations for structural changes, developing policies and procedures for implementing updated response capabilities, and improving the Homeland Security grant reimbursement process. Today's meeting is closed to the public. Finally this hour, with a sweep in sight, the St. Louis Cardinals will look to win their fourth in a row today at 1:05 p.m. when they finish their series with the Milwaukee Brewers at Miller Park in Wisconsin. The Cards are in the midst of a seven-game road trip that continues tomorrow with the start of a four-game series in Chicago against the Cubs. Lefty Mark Mulder will try for his 14th win while opposing Brewer righty Ben Sheets, who has eight wins. This WGNU News Report is brought to you by Fazoli's. Try Fazoli's new Italian meat sampler for only $3.99. And enjoy Fazoli's new cinnamon or cheese breadsticks, only 49 cents for two with entree. That's your look at local news for the 7 o'clock hour. I'm Patrick Brandmeier for Radio Free St. Louis.
Good morning, St. Louis. 7 minutes after the hour, 7 o'clock at AM 920 WGNU. I'm Howard Morton with a look at this hour's traffic and weather. This hour's traffic is sponsored by Abs Pure Natural Spring Water. Northbound 55 between Richardson and Germania, no problems reported. Eastbound 44 from Mraz Overpass all the way to Big Bend, look for normal traffic this hour. Eastbound 40 between Big Bend and Woods Mill, looks for no problems reported there. Eastbound 70 from Earth City Expressway to Hanley, everything's on the move. Northbound 270 from 55 Doherty Ferry, no problems there. Westbound 270 from the Canal Bridge all the way into West Flores, and everything looks good. Westbound 255 from Jefferson Barracks Bridge, 255. Expect normal traffic this hour. Westbound Kingbridge traffic from the Illinois Bank all the way on to Cleats Landing looks good. Westbound 5570 from the 3rd Street to the PSB looks good. Westbound 64 from 15th to the PSB, everything is on the move. Northbound Illinois Route 3 from Monsanto to the PSB, no problems to report at this hour. Eastbound 30 at High Ridge Boulevard is reported of an accident off the roadway in both directions. Tests on Ferry between Lindbergh and Gravelway, you can expect paving operations. And eastbound 40 at Van Deventer, look for that to be closed through August due to construction work. You can use Kings Highway, Market, or Grand to get around the construction area. This hour's traffic has been sponsored by Absapure Natural Spring Water. It's hot out. Doesn't a nice cold glass of Absapure Natural Spring Water sound good? Now get a cooler and 3 5-gallon bottles of Absapure water absolutely free. Yes, free. Call for details, 1-800-4-ABSAPURE. That's 1-800-4-ABSAPURE. Now taking a look at your WGNU forecast for today, tomorrow, and Friday. Hot and humid today, partly sunny, 20% chance of showers. The high should be in the mid-90s. For this afternoon, look for a high heat index of around 102. This evening, partly cloudy with a 20% chance of showers, low around 70. Thursday, hot and humid, partly sunny, 20% chance of showers, high in the mid-90s. Heat index is expected to be about 101 by Thursday afternoon. Thursday evening, partly cloudy once again, a low in the lower 70s. And Friday, hot and humid, partly sunny, high in the mid-90s. The highest heat index is expected to be around 100 by Friday afternoon. Currently at the studios of AM 920 WGNU, we have 78 degrees. Lambert Field is reporting 79, both under clear skies with sunshine and haze. Stay tuned for Liz Brown and the award-winning wake-up call. Up next, it's St. Louis Public Schools Watch. That comes up next. We'll take another look at your traffic and weather in the bottom of the 7 o'clock hour. I'm Howard Morton for AM 920 WGNU.
If you think it's hot now, just wait till next Tuesday. A three-hour wake-up call special dealing with the racial divisiveness in the St. Louis Fire Department. Liz Brown will examine why the Black Firefighters Organization was formed, which is a story in itself, and why they're shying away from merging with their white counterparts. Do they need each other? This will be the first time that these two organizations have talked about their positions in a public forum. To gain a full understanding about the City Fire Department's internal struggles, be dial side to the wake-up call next Tuesday morning from 6 to 9 for one of the most provocative discussions you have ever heard.
I think I'm hearing revolution in the air. I think I'm hearing revolution in the air.
St. Louis Schools Watch with Peter Downs, a weekly in-depth look at developments affecting the education of our children.
Welcome back, welcome back, welcome back to St. Louis Public Schools Watch. It is Wednesday. That means that I am here with Peter Downs. Peter Downs, good morning.
Good morning, Liz.
How are you?
I'm fine this morning.
Very good. Where do we start? You know, I kind of would like to start with this astounding PR campaign that is going on. I'd like to start with that because it seems to me that that is something that they've spent a lot of time and a lot of money to try to sell some stuff about this school district. Let's talk about this, because one of the things on the list of things that they are supposedly going to do is they've hit bus trails, they've hit bus shelters, they are on Channel 20, they have gospel radio ads running, 103 The Beat running, KMUM radio ads, and they also are going to do a parent custodial walkthrough in every school. Let's talk about that one, because as we know, because we've listened to political ads, people can say anything that they want to in an ad. We've had people lying about Sodexo. We've had people lying, all doing all kinds of things to say what they want to say about these companies out here and what they're doing. The proof is in the actual visual of the pudding. Parent and custodial walkthrough, what's that about? On August 19th, all day.
All right. First, I just want to say the only information I have on this is the information that was put out by the school system itself.
Okay.
I don't have anything independent on this.
Okay.
And the press release from the school system calls it a custodian maintenance walkthrough.
Mm-hmm.
And it says that participants on the walk will include students, parents, administrators, and custodians. Now, it doesn't say this is an open house in every school for anybody to come in and see what's happening.
Well, see, and I would encourage all parents, I would encourage all students with their parents to go to their schools on August 19th, because it seems to me that the school district should not be able to deny you if you are a parent and you want to walk through your doggone school. Don't you think?
Oh, I think that's true. I think that's absolutely true.
You know, I mean, they're billing it in this piece of this flyer that they sent out to the different media outlets. They are billing it as, and I'm going to read their words, because the words and the document or the handout that you're reading from, it's not what this says. It says parent custodial walkthrough all day, every school. So if you have a child in the St. Louis Public Schools, then on August 19th, you need to show up at the school to walk through the school to see what exactly, and take your cameras with you. Because this is your school, these are your children, and you should be able, if they're walking through the schools, why should they be able to pan-pick the people that they want to go through the schools? I mean, that makes it PR and not honesty.
Right, right. But I would suggest beyond this. Don't take your camera just on this walkthrough.
Mm-hmm.
Go back in a few weeks
yeah.
and take your camera.
Yeah.
Well,
take them both. Take them on the walkthrough and then take them on this 3 weeks that later on when you walk through the school. Because what you see on this day is not going to be what the school is like on 3 weeks from now.
That's right. I just want to remind people, you know, 2 years ago when Carnahan Middle School opened,
mm-hmm.
and they had a big media walkthrough to show how, all right, we got it all done
mm-hmm.
in time for school. And yet after a couple of weeks and you went in there, you'd find facilities like the library and other things closed because you had to put the carpet in and the bookshelves. But they hadn't had all the work done, so then they had to tear that all out to actually complete the work.
And
but they made it look real nice and done for first day of school.
Absolutely, and also I just want you to underscore, if you can, Peter, the insanity of the decisions that are being made by this school board. Let's talk about the library at Carnahan. What did they do? What did they screw up in that they had to tear all of the rugs up again?
Well, they were in such a hurry to make it look nice.
To tell a lie.
That, you know, like a lot of modern buildings with a lot of electronic equipment, all of the electrical outlets, all of the computer outlets are in the floor. And what they did is they covered them up with the carpet, then covered them up with the bookshelves and put all the books on it. So when it came time to install all the computers, the copiers, any electrical equipment in there, they couldn't. Everything was covered up.
the electrical sockets were covered up with the... I mean, what kind of mental giants did they have laying the carpet down that just said, we're just going to lay it on top of the electrical outlets?
Well, I think the mental giants had laying it down were just doing what they were told. You had Roberti in there several times, and Weasley leading up just screaming and shouting at construction crews, hurry up, do this.
Get it done, get it done.
You know, the mental giant who made that error was William Roberti.
Mm. So those are the types of things that this district, that's how far this district will go, and that's how much money that this district is willing to spend to tell a lie to you about all is well in the city of St. Louis Public Schools.
That's right. And similarly, last year we had the move to the old Southwest High School.
Mm-hmm.
And we talked about that on this show. Mm-hmm. They had the media tour. See, everything's going to be done. And we had callers, staffs and parents called into this show after it opened talking mm-hmm. about the asbestos dropping out of the
That's
ceiling,
right.
talking about plumbing not fixed.
That's right.
And on at that school.
So do not believe the live. Apparently, there's an article in today's paper in the everyday section the Metro section talking about how 20% of the children did not attend first day last year. Is that number correct?
Well, it's more than 20%.
Of course it's more than 20% of the kids that didn't attend school last year on the first day. And this is kind of a sad story, but it is indicative of what you reported last week. There's a 7-year-old baby that was killed in a fire on Maple earlier this over the weekend, or no, for Monday, I guess it was. And inside of the story about this horrible tragedy, the mother and the father, how their loss and their grieving and their pain, there was two little lines. It said that the baby went to was going to a St. Louis public elementary school because he was 7, but the parents had planned on transferring him to a county school. You know, mm-hmm. and to me, in that horrible story, that tragic story about that baby, was a statement about what is happening in the St. Louis public schools. Parents of young children in particular are voting with their feet. You know, they're not protesting with their, you know, I'm not keeping my kid out of school. I'm getting my kid to another school.
Right. Right. And then if you look back, I just want to make a note on when they say 20% of kids didn't show up on the first day.
Mm-hmm.
If you look back for a few years at the data that the school system puts out,
mm-hmm.
it is the young kids whose parents have taken the school
mm-hmm.
who are not there on the first day.
Mm-hmm.
They get 90-95% attendance in the high schools on the
mm-hmm.
first day.
Mm-hmm.
Now, it doesn't last all year round, but
mm-hmm.
but high school kids come the first day. They want to see their friends.
That's
they can
right.
get there on their own. All
That's
that.
Right.
You know, catch up after summer. But it's the elementary schools that have really low attendance. And there they get around 60-65%. They have a third to 40% who don't come to school on the first day.
Mm-hmm.
I was going somewhere with that, but I forgot right now.
Well, what they're saying is when they're talking about pushing people out, they have Craig, C-R-E-G Williams, and as far as we know, he still hasn't taken the superintendent's test. Is that right?
He certainly hasn't announced he's
okay,
done.
Okay, all right. So he still doesn't have a superintendent's license. And they're having a rally at the Clyde Miller Academy.
Right.
They're going to have
that was yesterday.
Lacey Clay and rappers and all this kind of stuff to get kids to come to school on the first day. But when we look at, Peter, we've talked about the things that keep kids in school, not the things that get kids to school on the first day. The things that keep kids in school are teachers, are safety, are decent food, clean buildings where there's not human feces on the ground, on the floor of the elementary schools, as we've seen in Columbia
right.
School. Those are the things that keep kids in school. Why the big push? Why is there so much of a push to get kids in on the first day? Is it about their education or is it about something else?
No, I think it's about image, really, because you know that the news media pays a lot of attention to the first day of school.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's we're both here in the news business. You know, it's something new. It's easy to look at. It's a lot harder to look at what goes on all year round. So this is an easy, cheap thing for media to look at. And I really think it's also about money, but the money really, it's every day of attendance that's important for the money, not just the first day. Now, I'd like to contrast what St. Louis Public Schools do with every other district mm-hmm. in the area, because mm-hmm. there are 24 school districts mm-hmm. in St. Louis City and County mm-hmm. that are starting school in August. Mm-hmm. Some of them are starting school August 15th, next Monday. The last ones in the area start school August 29th. The other 23 districts don't do a political-style campaign, which is what all the earmarks of St. Louis Public Schools doing is a political-style campaign for one day.
Mm-hmm.
Every other district, you have low-key personal campaigns with contacts from the school to the homes of students, with open houses to come in beforehand and meet the teachers, walk around the school for teachers to meet the parents, a lot of really relationship building.
Mm-hmm. And when you look at this, I think that your observation about this is really a political campaign is very, very accurate. You look at the people that are involved in the decision-making of how this is going to happen. Vince Schemel. We're talking about Francis Slay. We're talking about people who hire people that know how to do one thing and one thing only, run a political campaign that is geared towards one day. Election day.
That's right.
You know, political campaigns are not geared toward the day after election. They're geared towards one day, and this is geared towards one day. And that, it kind of really typifies the disdain and the disconnect that this board and the people that are running this board have with this district, that it's all about image and it's all about one thing.
That's right. And I want to add something here, because you have this list they put out here, and half the things on the list, right, there's superintendents'
That's right.
home visits.
That's right.
Superintendents' shelter visits.
And we don't have a superintendent.
Superintendents receives test books. Superintendents' Cardinals broadcast.
That's right. That's right.
Focus. I mean, just as political campaigns focus around
The candidate.
The candidate. The focus here is around the superintendent.
That's right.
Not around school.
That's right. This is hilarious. We have Craig Williams, who still doesn't have a superintendent's license, because he's never had one before. He's going to be on the Cardinals sports broadcast. What is that? You know, and the other piece of it is that he says he's going to deliver textbooks to Wyman Elementary School on the first day of school to demonstrate that they have the books at least 1 week before classes. Excuse me, when do other schools have books in the classroom? I mean, because teachers are supposed to be in the classroom preparing for the first day and beyond weeks before school starts. So you're telling us, this is a confession that you're making to us, that we only managed to get the books in a week before school, so the teachers haven't had the books and haven't had the opportunity to set up their classrooms because y'all don't have the books to them not even a week before school. I mean, isn't that what he's saying?
Yeah. And there's from one point of view, I say humorous note, but a sad note on the textbooks mm-hmm. came out at the special board meeting last night with Veronica O'Brien asking for an investigation, because they contracted for $1.5 million worth of textbooks. But they wrote the order in such a way that all the textbooks were delivered downtown to 801. You know, not too many kids are in class downtown at 801. So in order to have them delivered to the schools, it's costing them another $250,000.
These people should just be these. Ah! Oh! So the person that put down the 801 address, do they still have their job?
I don't know. He talked about firing somebody else who screwed up an insurance contract. So
all of the books that we got were delivered. And when were they delivered to 801?
This is just within the last week or two.
So, again, teachers didn't have books.
Right.
Teachers didn't know how many books they were going to have. Teachers don't know if they have enough books. Teachers don't know. Teachers haven't been able to prepare because this district doesn't get the equipment to them and the stuff that they need, the teachers need, before school starts. Because we're on this campaign of one day, first day.
Yeah.
454-0400 is my phone number. Joyce, you have a question.
Yes, I do. I was wondering why Lacey Clay crossed the picket line for the engineers yesterday to enter in at Clyde C. Miller.
You know what? That's a dang good question. That's a dang good question. Why he would cross a picket line. I guess it's the same reason why he would support, say that he's pro-choice and then say that he is going to vote according to his church. That is outrage. That is such a good point. That is such a good point. You know what I would like for you to do, Joyce? I'd like you to call his office and ask that question.
Okay, I will.
Call his office and ask why he crossed. Mr. Union crossed a picket line to get into Clyde Miller because the stationary engineers were there, weren't they?
Yes, they were.
That's an excellent question. Call his office and then call us back.
Okay.
All right. Thank you, Joyce.
Bye-bye.
Good question, isn't it?
That is a good question.
That's an excellent question. We're going to take a break. We are going to take. Why did he cross a picket line to get up in there? My name is Liz Brown. This is the wake-up call. You need to get to me. You need to get to me. We have much, much, much to talk about.
Not even him. No one else want it. And if I try to take it, they want to break me down and strip me naked. They write a brand new rule and break it. They lie, they cheat, they steal, they fake it. But I'm gonna make it, Lord, I can take it. I'm the greatest man alive. Cut the drama, boy, save it for your mama. I'm the greatest man alive.
Good morning, St. Louis. 30 minutes after the hour of 7 o'clock at AM 920 WGNU. I'm Howard Morton with a look at this hour's traffic and weather. This hour's traffic is sponsored by Ashley Furniture Home Store. Westbound 255 between Telegraph and Lindbergh. Look for an accident. Two right lanes are blocked. Traffic is backed up all the way to Telegraph. Northbound 55 between 270 and Carondelet. No problems to report. Eastbound 44 from 141 to 270. Expect normal traffic. Eastbound 40 from 170 to Hanley. You've got slow volume there. Eastbound 70 from River City Expressway to 170. No problems to report there. Northbound 270 between Gravoy and Marshall. Heavy volume this hour. Westbound 270 between Channel Rocks Bridge and West Florissant. Look for slow volume going on there. Westbound 40 between Kings Highway and 170. Everything is running smoothly. Westbound 5570 from 4th Street onto the PSB. You have slow volume this hour. Westbound 64 at 5570 split all the way from Poplar Street Bridge. Look for slow volume there as well. Westbound Kingbridge traffic from the Illinois Bank on the Memorial Drive. Look for no problems to report there. Northbound Illinois Route 3 onto the PSB is slow on the ramp to the bridge. This hour's traffic has been sponsored by Ashley Furniture Home Stores. Smart shoppers are discovering Ashley's top quality furniture at Ashley Direct Prices. Ashley Furniture Home Store in Kirkwood on Manchester Road and in South County on Lima Ferry. Now taking a look at your WGNU forecast for today, tomorrow, and Friday. Today, hot and humid, partly sunny, 20% chance of showers this afternoon, the high in the mid-90s. The highest heat index is expected to be around 102 by this afternoon. This evening, partly cloudy, 20% chance of showers, low around 70. Thursday, hot and humid, partly sunny, 20% chance of showers, high in the mid-90s. The heat index is expected to reach around 101 by Thursday afternoon. Friday, hot and humid, partly sunny, high in the mid-90s. The heat index is expected to reach around 100 by Friday afternoon. Currently, the studios of AM 920 WGNU, we have 78 degrees. Lambert Field is reporting 79, both under sunny, hazy conditions. Stay tuned. More of Liz Brown and the award-winning wake-up call is up next. It's St. Louis Public Schools Watch with Peter Downs. We'll take another look at your news, traffic, and weather in the 8 o'clock hour. I'm Howard Morton for AM 920 WGNU.
You're planning your wedding. You've got stars sparkling in your eyes, wedding bells ringing in your ears, and butterflies dancing in your stomach. Relax, that dream come true wedding can be yours. Just visit the exclusive Bridal Fest, Saturday the 13th of August, from 10 a.m. to 9 p.m., and Sunday, August 14th, from noon to 6, at St. Clair Square in Fairview Heights. No need to rush all over town when you can check out the best in the area's bridal and party industry, all at one handy location. See the newest fashions. Get everything you need to make your wedding an event to remember. While you're there, register for an opportunity to win thousands of dollars in gifts and prizes. One entry per bride to be, please. Entertainment all weekend long, and it's free. The exclusive Bridal Fest, 10 a.m. to 9 p.m. Saturday, August the 13th, and noon to 6, Sunday the 14th. Get details at www.sbcshows.com or call 618-236-6926. Sponsored in part by Patty Cakes of Highland, Night Magic Entertainment, and Radio Free St. Louis, AM 920, WGNU. This is a Specialized Promotional Concepts production.
Hello, this is Minister Sammy Estelle Jr. Join me on the Singing Time broadcast, the first, third, and fifth Saturdays of the month at 5:30, and the second and fourth Saturdays at 6, for the Singing Time broadcast, featuring good gospel music, the latest church news, and also the Word of God. That's Singing Time with Minister Sammy Estelle Jr. right here on WGNU.
Hello, my name's Smokey, and I'm a hardcore biker. I'm here to tell you that Geico... Hold on a sec. Is this the right music, bro?
Really?
Anyway, Geico covers most kinds of bikes, so you can get money-saving discounts whether you're a casual weekend rider or a hardcore biker like me. You see, man, I'm not sure. This music don't make a lick of sense.
For a free rate quote on motorcycle insurance, visit Geico.com or call 1-800-44-CYCLE. Geico Motorcycle Insurance. Let's ride.
And now, today's diary entry from the Girl Blog from Iraq.
Saturday, August 30th, 2003. My brother, E, was out at 8 a.m. this morning getting gasoline for the car. He came home at 12 p.m. in a particularly foul mood. He had waited in a line of angry, hostile Iraqis for 3 hours. Gasoline lines drive people crazy, because prior to the war, the price of gasoline in Iraq was ridiculously low. A liter of gasoline cost around 20 Iraqi dinars, when one U.S. dollar equaled 2,000 Iraqi dinars. In other words, 1 liter of gasoline cost 1 cent. We dragged E out of the house at 12:30 to go visit my aunt on the other end of the city. We heard the usual instructions before we left. Stop at checkpoints, return before dark, and if anyone wants the car, give them the keys. Don't argue, don't fight it. We climbed into a battered, old, white 1984 Volkswagen. People are avoiding using nice cars that might tempt hijackers. Nice is anything made after 1990. I mentally debated putting on the sunglasses, but decided against it. No need to attract any undue attention. I said a little prayer to keep us safe as I rummaged around in my bag, checking for my weapon. I can't stand carrying a pistol, so I carry around a big, red, switchblade hunting knife. You don't want to mess with Riverbend.
Riverbend, the girl blog from Iraq, was a computer programmer before the war. Not anymore. In her diary of the occupation, she describes daily the new, confined way of life, especially for women amid the mayhem.
I know the place to shop for all your appliance needs. Sears, 3425 Union, black-owned and black-operated, Jerome Williams. Sears carries the top 6 appliance brands, Kenmore, Whirlpool, Maytag, GE, Amana, and Frigidaire. Sears also has the latest in electronics, TVs, VCRs, camcorders, and DVD players. Now, if you find a lower price on an identical branded item with the same features currently available at another local retail store, Sears will match that price plus give you 10% off the difference. That's the Sears Price Match Plus policy. So, save yourself a trip. Stop at Sears first and get a low price promise plus a great selection for your home and garden needs. It's all at your local Sears store right there at 3425 Union, Jerome Williams, 389-9700.
Last year, partly because we tipped you off about it, the EPA canceled a program that would have paid parents in Florida to allow testing of pesticides on their children. But now the EPA is poised to allow a similar study on adults by not coming up with ethical rules to prevent case study abuse. This would not only involve pesticides, but other commercial toxins. The only standards that would have to be met are those set up by the EPA, which has no research standards to base anything on. Does it ever end? We talk about this threat to your safety Wednesday morning at 8 with Rebecca Roos, Program Director for Public Employees for Environmental Responsibility. Only on the award-winning Wake Up Call. This is the award-winning Wake Up Call with Liz Brown. Don't leave home without it.
Tomorrow.
This is Mondays at 9 with Liz Brown, where we take a closer look at issues and people shaping our world. Once again, here's Liz Brown.
I'm back with Peter Downs. Peter, I'm looking at this election campaign that's going on here for the first day efforts by the St. Louis Public Schools. $250,000 is what we spent.
Yes.
On this.
That's what they've said we've spent.
We spent $250,000 for this political campaign to shore up the image of Craig Williams as opposed to shore up the needs of the city of St. Louis Public Schools.
That's right. They have not. We're saying off the air, some school districts take their money and they pay teachers to make home visits during the summer
to
get families of kids.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and we mentioned how the real problem with early attendance at the start of school is with the elementary schools.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you could pay a lot of teachers to make a lot of home visits.
For $250,000. Plus, then you have teachers that feel better about teaching. They feel better about relationships that they are developing with the families and with the kids. You have teachers that have a little bit more money in their pocket. It's a win-win situation. Instead, we have Craig Williams, who doesn't have a superintendent's license, has never had a superintendent's license, up in the booth with the boys kicking it at a Cardinals game. I mean, that's insane. And here's the thing. What is fascinating to me is if you look at this schedule, you go to the Cardinals game piece. Go down here to the Cardinals game piece. What day is that?
It's August 16th.
August 16th. He's there from 7:10 until they don't even have an end date of when he's going to be there. Compare and contrast that to the amount of time that he spends at a homeless shelter. He's there at one time from 12:30 to 12:50. How many minutes is that? Then he goes to another one from 1 o'clock to 1:20. He is busting through those homeless visits, but he's kicking it at the Cardinals. He is going to be there at 7:10 until the game is over with. So he's spending more time at the Cardinals game than he is at these homeless shelters.
Well, in one part, I think it's an admission there, that his little visits to homeless shelters are not what's going to get anybody to school.
No, it's not.
These are, again, they're political campaign events. It's like George Bush visiting an inner-city school during the election campaign.
That's right. And Patty
Littlefield.
So
somebody can take a picture,
take
some tape of him.
That's right. And we have billions and billions of dollars needs in public school buildings for facilities. All George Bush does is go get his picture taken next to a little black kid, pat him on the head. That's exactly what Craig Williams, who doesn't have a superintendent's license. And maybe that explains some of the actions that he's making. He doesn't know what the heck he's doing. He's never been a superintendent before, doesn't have a license to do it. He's running around to Cardinals games, kicking it in the booth. He's going to be up in the booth with the broadcasters.
He's going to be up in the broadcast booth, yes, with the Cardinals announcers during the game.
And the other piece of this is that every place that he's going on this list has cost this district part of this $250,000. These shelters are getting money out of it, and bully for the shelters for getting money for their shelters out of this $250,000. But what about our poor babies in the school that don't have books and don't have teachers?
Right. I mean, certainly we got to hope the shelters are getting money out of it.
Yeah, we hope that they do. Well, we know that the radio stations are going to get money. What is this thing about the Gateway Classic? This amount of money that the Gateway Classic got?
Oh, last month the board approved a resolution. I think it was $87,000.
$87,000 for the Gateway Classic. Okay, 454-0400 is my phone number. Get to me. You're on the wake-up call. Good morning.
Miss Brown, I want to know, did you and Peter know that this organization, nonprofit organization called Why? Because We Care. I got this from Channel 4. This organization is paying to have the athletic fields fixed. Solan is one of them. Peter can do some investigation about what the other schools were. Are you telling me they didn't have enough money to get the fields fixed? This organization had to come in and fix these fields, and they had the children out there with
the
t-shirts
kids out
on, Ms. Brown.
That's right.
And Ms. Brown, I got different channels. I said, this is total crazy. This organization has to come in and get the athletic fields fixed. But, you know, I put it all together. I guess they said, well, we got to make sure Craig got some money.
Well,
we got to worry about those fields.
$250,000 went into an opportunity for Craig Williams, who doesn't have a superintendent's license, never has had one, to kick it up in the booth with the Cardinal broadcasters.
And I just want to pass it on, Ms. Brown, and the athletic fields need to be fixed. What else, Ms. Brown? Thank you.
Well, what could we have? How many athletic fields could we have fixed for $250,000, Peter?
Probably all of them. I know there is a group, private group that came together last year to fix reseed and fix athletic fields at the 12 high schools. And their initial estimate was $40,000. It's gone over that, but probably $250,000 would do it.
And here's the other piece of it. The private companies that are coming forward to help the St. Louis Public Schools have one common message. They're saying, we don't want anything to do with that board. We don't want the board to touch our money. We don't want the board to handle our money. We don't trust this board to get done with the money that needs to be done. And that's quite a statement, isn't it?
That's right. They're all very clear. They're operating independently of the board.
Because they don't, and they've said that we don't want this board touching our money because
right.
we don't trust that this board will do with the money what they said that they're going to do
that's
with
right.
it. 454-0400 is my phone number. 454-6609 is my fax. And my toll-free long-distance number is 1-877-920-WGNU. San, you have a question or comment?
Good morning, Liz.
Good morning,
Peter.
Morning.
Your statement, Liz, just led exactly to what I'm thinking about. I'm receiving a retired non-teacher trustee election that's coming up, and I'm looking at the list of names on this list. And I was wondering what Peter's opinion was, or if he was even familiar with the list of persons that are potential candidates.
Well, give us the names.
Donald E. Jenkins, David G. Fleeg, Helen Louise Herndon, Leon Frazier, and Joseph W. B. Clark, Jr.
Okay, thanks for your call.
Thank you.
That David Fleeg that was fired from the St. Louis Public Schools?
The former assistant superintendent.
Yeah, he was fired, wasn't he?
Yes.
Okay.
Well, he was pushed out.
Pushed out, okay. But he was a major water carrier for Bill Roberti. Major water. I remember he ran down to Pierre Laclede School when I was invited down there to with Janice Smith and her class. He ran down there to sit in the classroom to observe when I was down there.
Oh, did he?
Yes, he did. Yes, he did. So what do you think of those names?
Well, I only know three of those names.
Mm-hmm.
David Fleeg, you just mentioned.
Mm-hmm.
Helen Louise Herndon was a secretary, had worked part-time, had worked downtown, was pushed out into the schools, was one of those who was exposing what the commandant at Cleveland was doing and was then forced out of there to another school, and she retired. Joseph Clark was a maintenance man, one of those outsourced when Sodexo was given all the buildings and grounds.
Okay.
And he was active. He got up at, he was a spokesman for several of the maintenance people in opposing that outsourcing.
Okay, we're going to take a break, folks. I'm talking to Peter Downs. This is St. Louis Public Schools Watch. My name is Liz Brown. This is the Wake Up Call. Stay with me. We have much, much, much to talk about.
Grandma's hand picked me up each time I fell. Grandma's hand bore
the... Congratulations! You found Radio Free St. Louis online at WGNU.net. Remember, we're also at 920 on your AM dial in the St. Louis metropolitan area.
Join us at the August A. Bush Conservation Area, 2360 Highway D in St. Charles, to learn to identify wildflowers by their shape and color. The class will be on Wednesday, August 17th from 10 a.m. to noon. After the class, students will learn to create a beautiful picture of a wildflower from colored tissue paper. Call 636-441-4554 for more information or for reservations. News to you from WGNU.
This is your wake-up call, Global News Update. Dateline Cape Town. The gold miners' strike in South Africa continues today. Some 100,000 workers are conducting the first work stoppage in nearly 20 years to protest both low pay and living conditions. Management has offered an increase of 5%, but the union says that amount does not take into account the rising price of the precious metal. It's one of the biggest labor disputes since apartheid ended and is costing the industry about $12 million a day in lost revenue. A second union called Solidarity is also threatening to go on strike. This is unusual because Solidarity is mostly composed of white miners, and they rarely take action alongside their black counterparts. And Dateline San Francisco. An employee of the Los Alamos National Laboratory mishandled some hazardous radioactive material, which has resulted in contamination of sites in four states. The substance is called radioactive americium-241 and is used in medical devices, gauges, and distance-measuring tools. It's produced when plutonium atoms absorb neutrons in nuclear reactors and nuclear weapons explosions. Traces of it have been found in residences in Colorado and Kansas that the employee visited, plus his own home in New Mexico. It has also been detected at a Pennsylvania laboratory where he shipped a contaminated package using Federal Express. A Los Alamos spokesperson would not say why it took 2 days to discover the missing material. The EPA says americium poses a significant risk if enough is swallowed or inhaled by increasing the chances of developing cancer, which may not be apparent for several years. This is your Wake Up Call Global News Update.
Is the IRS ruining your life? Are you afraid of losing everything? You can end the despair you feel right now. Get ready to write down an important phone number you're going to need to solve your IRS nightmare. The number is 800-376-9913.
Hello, I'm John Harris, president of J.K. Harris & Company, the nation's largest tax representation firm. IRS problems have a way of ruining every aspect of your life if you let them. Our former IRS agents and tax professionals have successfully negotiated settlements for thousands of our clients, saving them millions of dollars.
According to IRS statistics, the average settlement for accepted offers and compromise was between 12 and 15 cents per tax dollar owed, which means you could qualify to reduce your tax debt by as much as 85%. If you owe the IRS back taxes, call J.K. Harris at 800-376-9913. You may qualify to dramatically reduce your tax debt. Call 800-376-9913. That's 800-376-9913.
Last year, partly because we tipped you off about it, the EPA canceled a program that would have paid parents in Florida to allow testing of pesticides on their children. But now, the EPA is poised to allow a similar study on adults by not coming up with ethical rules to prevent case study abuse. This would not only involve pesticides, but other commercial toxins. The only standards that would have to be met are those set up by the EPA, which has no research standards to base anything on. Does it ever end? We talk about this threat to your safety Wednesday morning at 8 with Rebecca Roos, Program Director for Public Employees for Environmental Responsibility, only on the award-winning Wake Up Call. St. Louis City Schools Watch with Peter Downs, a weekly feature of the award-winning Wake Up Call.
Welcome back. I'm Liz Brown. I'm here with Peter Downs, and Peter, you and I were just talking off the air as we look at this $250,000 political campaign that the St. Louis Public Schools spent money on for this for first day, not for every day. They spent it for first day, not for every day. You look at that, the opportunities that Craig, who doesn't have a license, has to come out and actually talk to people. He's going to be on some radio, or they paid for time on some radio stations, but it's not Craig that's going to be on there talking. They're sending mouthpieces, but they're not sending Craig. But Craig has time to go kick it in the booth at a Cardinals game. But he doesn't have time to actually come out and to talk to people and to answer some serious questions that people have about it.
Right. Well, those other radio stations, you mentioned them earlier, like KMJM and Foxy, they're ads. So you've got tape ads, maybe 30-second ads.
Right. But we have the Sunday Morning Live piece down here in August where there's an opportunity for somebody to come on and to actually do some talking, and it ain't Craig. It ain't Craig. And it's two opportunities. One was earlier this, or I guess it was last week, and one is right before school starts, and neither one of them are Craig.
Right.
He has an opportunity to talk. He ain't talking. He ain't saying nothing. He wants to kick it in the end up in the broadcast booth with the Cardinals. Yes, you're on the on.
Good morning.
Yes.
Thanks for taking my call.
Yes.
This is the Vashon lady. I don't know if Peter was there yesterday at the rally, and I don't want to say something that he might be going to talk about. Were you there, Peter?
No, I was not there yet.
Clyde Miller?
No, I was not
there
yet.
Okay, guess who two persons was that was very conspicuously absent? Mayor Francis Slay and Mary Armstrong. Now, usually when the mayor is invited someplace, if they can't be there, they'll send a representative. The building, we were in the cafeteria full. It was crowded. But the applause that Superintendent Williams got was not what I would have expected to be, but knowing the circumstances under which he's operating, I can see why. And so many people are fearful of their job. Peter, Ms. Brown, going back to, I guess, two or three board meetings past, I don't think the people that are really in the know are really satisfied with what we have. And it's bad because our students are there to learn. The teachers are there to teach. But when you have a superintendent that gets up and has that voice that you're going to do blah, 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 that's intimidating to me. Can't you speak in a monotone that's, you know, conducive for the crowd that you're with?
But, now, but you also have to remember that this is a man that has never been a superintendent anywhere in his life and doesn't have a license to be one right now.
Yes, ma'am.
So he doesn't know what he's doing.
And I'm just wondering, why is it that when Wash U and St. Louis U, Harris Stowe has any position or any person that's qualified for any position, we have to go out of town always, but Wash U and St. Louis U supposed to be by numbers one or two of the best colleges in the city and in the states.
Thanks.
So I don't know, but anyway, the second one will be Sunday. All you Vashonites, come on out. We're meeting this Saturday at 11 o'clock in the library at Vashon, and mark your calendar for that, and also Sunday at 2:45, 3035 test. Thank you so much.
Thanks for the call. 454-0400 is the phone number. 454-6609 is the fax. And let me get to one more caller here. Mary, quickly, please.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Liz and Mr. Peter Dowling, I think if Mr. Greg Women, the superintendent, can't something be done about this, about him holding that title up as superintendent without any license?
Well, everybody just needs to stop calling him superintendent.
That's right.
for what I'm talking about. His name is Craig. His name is Craig. He is not a superintendent of any school district,
right.
Has never been a superintendent of any school district, and doesn't have a license to be a superintendent of this district. His name is Craig. That's what his name
and
is.
And also, I got a flyer with the non-custodial. I'm a vote for Clark. He's for us.
Okay.
But anyway, the people should just get rid of that man, Greg Wade. I don't think any something. How come they hired him? Without the light, can that be done? Can anything be done about getting rid of him?
How do you get rid of?
Oh, yeah.
I've been pushing for all kinds of ways to get rid of folks. You know, you shut a school down.
Right,
you do all that kind of stuff. The stuff that is happening is people need to be telling the truth and being out there and challenging these people instead of hiding. And I gotta go. Gotta go. 454-0400 is my phone number. Kevin.
You're right, Liz. being involved in unions, the teachers got to toughen up.
Yes,
they do. They have to toughen up. You know, when they watch those unpublished people out there fighting for their rights, they also need to go on strike.
Mm-hmm.
And the teachers are never learned. You know, like just that, I feel sorry for that lady previously, that teacher, seeing how that man was talking. He's tough. So the teachers need to toughen up too.
This man doesn't have a license to be a superintendent.
It's
crazy.
Absolutely. So
crazy.
You know, you can sit here and try to be rational with that person, but they need to toughen up. You know, they need to all go on a massive strike. You know, all those unions in the St. Louis cities need to go on strike, and like you said, shut it down. If you don't do that, they're just going to fire all of you.
Thanks for your call. 454-0400 is my phone number. And, Peter, one last thing. At the school board meeting or the emergency school board meeting last night, how did that happen? How did that come about?
Well, the special school board meeting.
Special school board meeting.
Yeah.
Okay.
They had scheduled a special meeting because it wasn't a regular day to vote on the tax levy.
Okay.
We just had tax reassessment in St. Louis.
Mm-hmm.
They decided to add a couple other things to the agenda, so they had to post it as a special meeting.
Mm-hmm. And so one of the things that came out of it was a letter from Veronica O'Brien and from Bill Purdy to the employees?
No, that's a letter they put out.
Okay.
Various places before the school board meeting.
Mm-hmm.
Veronica O'Brien and Bill Purdy basically tell employees, contact us anytime.
Mm-hmm.
You know, tell us what's going on. We want to hear from you.
Flint Fowler didn't sign onto that letter?
He did not. I don't know if they asked him to or not.
Okay.
I just don't know.
And why did they do that?
Well, my guess
is you've had several things over the last year at least, and again it came up last night, effort to say that school board members should not talk to any district employees, that employees should only talk to the superintendent or the president of the Board of Aldermen. They tried to do that through bylaws several months ago. Again, you had Robert Archibald saying, well, we just need to trust the superintendent. You know, we should quit asking questions, what's going on. And so I think there's this push from the four that put the superintendent in there, and O'Brien and Purdy are just pushing back and saying, hey, you can talk to us.
And I think that we should be very concerned about assessing Bob Archibald's grasp on reality, because he's the guy that did what? With the Native American?
Oh, you know, he was put in charge of all Lewis and Clark celebrations,
uh-huh.
and he was
as
on...
As president of Historical Society.
Yeah, but this was nationwide, not just St. Louis,
uh-huh.
but he was on KWMU talking about how when he went to talk to the American Indian tribes to get them involved in the celebrations, he was shocked to learn that they don't think that's something to celebrate.
What only is St. Louis. Peter, you won't be here next week?
No, I won't be here next week.
I understand, taking a vacation with your family. You'll be back after that, though.
I'll be back following week.
Thank you so much, and I'll see you then.
All
Liz
right.
Brown will be going to our next hour. Stay with us.
WGNU, Granite City, St. Louis. 920 on your AM dial.
Here's the latest from ABC News. I'm Clarissa Douglas. Police in Kingston, Tennessee, in the eastern part of the state, are searching with helicopters for an escaped prison inmate and his wife. George Hyatt was being escorted out of the county courthouse yesterday when police say his wife Jennifer drove up and opened fire, killing a police officer. More from ABC's Jessica Yellen in Kingston.
Authorities here are searching bags of evidence they collected from a motel room where they say Jennifer Hyatt stayed the night before the shooting. They say they have leads and are preparing murder charges for the two suspects, but the massive manhunt is still ongoing. Authorities describe the two as armed and extremely dangerous.
Police have found the SUV that Jennifer Hyatt drove with bloodstains on the driver's side. Four American soldiers were killed, six wounded in northern Iraq overnight when insurgents attacked their patrol. It happened about 155 miles north of Baghdad. Fire officials in Romulus, Michigan, southwest of Detroit, are keeping close watch over a chemical plant fire that started with an explosion last night. Public Safety Director Charles Kirby.
We've got a fire that's contained, and the fire chiefs feel the best thing to do right now is to let it burn.
About 300 people in nearby Wayne were evacuated. Nobody's reported hurt so far. You ever wonder about the netting behind home plate at ballparks and whether you could jump into it? That's what happened last night at Yankee Stadium when 18-year-old Scott Harper took a leap of faith from the upper deck. The Yes Network's Bobby Mercer and Michael Fox saw it happen.
I don't think I've ever seen that. He's a lucky dude, I can tell you that.
He's lucky he wasn't a couple of sessions over and he could fall onto the screen.
Yeah, that's what I mean.
Wow.
It's Michael Kay, by the way. Harper wasn't hurt, but he faces several charges. This is ABC News.
Millions of miles, thousands of TV appearances, hundreds of baseball games, 80 years of history, and a fleet of Goodyear blimps all add up to one big celebration. The Goodyear Blimp Birthday Celebration with sky-high savings on some of Goodyear's most popular tires. Plus, get up to an $80 rebate on a qualifying purchase. Offers end August 27th. Call 1-800-GOODYEAR for complete details and the participating retailer nearest you. Goodyear. For 80 years, it's in the name everyone looks up to. Mail-in rebate offer subject to credit approval. Restrictions apply.
If you're sick and tired of watching your eyes get weaker and weaker every year, repeat after me. I will take a stand against my weak eyesight.
I won't use my glasses as a crutch.
And I will no longer accept stronger prescriptions year after year.
Call right now for a free video to find out how you can strengthen your eyesight using the safe, natural solution. It's called the See Clearly Method. Call 1-800-400-9144. That's 1-800-400-9144. 1-800-400-9144.
President Bush takes a break today from his Texas ranch vacation to travel to suburban Chicago, where he'll sign the huge new transportation bill.
The president has been meeting with his top economic advisors, who gave him a highly optimistic outlook. But there are some problems, including rising energy prices, that won't be solved immediately by the congressionally approved energy bill that Mr. Bush just signed into law.
This bill isn't going to lower people's gasoline prices overnight, but it is
the bill does lay out a strategy.
The president told reporters the economy is growing faster than any other major industrialized nation. Bill Greenwood, ABC News.
A 104-year-old Japanese man and his 103-year-old wife are challenging the Guinness Book of World Records, which lists a Philadelphia man and woman as the world's oldest married couple. The folks from Philly are 105 and 100, a combined 205 years. The couple in Japan add up to 207. Clarissa Douglas, ABC News.
Good morning, St. Louis. This is Patrick Bryant-Meyer with your WGNU News Update for the 8 o'clock hour. In the news this Wednesday, in as little as 2 weeks, the St. Louis County Council could give its final approval to a smoking ban. The Indoor Clean Air Act would ban smoking in most indoor public places in St. Louis County, with some exceptions. The bill was approved yesterday by the Council's Justice and Health Committee and read for the first time before the full Council last night. Gary Voss of the Bowling Proprietors Association supports the bill in its current form, which offers an option for bowling alleys to allow some smoking.
Because we have such a large building, we are going to have a special smoking area. With that provision, we cannot have anybody who's non-smoking walk through any smoke whatsoever. We can't serve food in any area.
Opponents of the ban say it will drive business out of the county. The ordinance will be up for perfection next week, and if it clears that step, it will come up for a final vote on August 23rd. In response to the shooting death of Obian Hawkins and other Metro East murders, area residents are taking a stand against violence. Over 100 teenagers, along with members of various police departments, marched yesterday to the St. Clair Bull, where Hawkins was shot and killed last week. 22-year-old Obian Hawkins was shot and killed last week, allegedly by 16-year-old Anthony Bradley. Bradley is charged with first-degree murder and is being tried as an adult. The insects that light up backyards in summer are shedding new light on cancer research at Washington University. Some scientists are using a glowing protein from fireflies to track the effects of treatments on several forms of cancer. The process allows drugs to be tested in real time in living mice rather than in tissue or blood samples. The glowing firefly protein is linked to a molecule that can trigger cancer development in mice. By using special cameras, researchers can follow the glowing chemical to see a drug's effect on the attached molecules. Finally this hour, the St. Louis Rams will try out their new field turf playing surface at the Edward Jones Dome today and tomorrow before hosting Chicago in a preseason opener on Friday. Rams head coach Mike Marsh decided to hold a practice at 2:35 p.m. today and tomorrow at 12:45 p.m. downtown to help his team adjust to the softer artificial grass. This WGNU News Report is brought to you by Ashley Furniture Home Store. Smart shoppers are discovering Ashley's top quality furniture at Ashley Direct Prices. Ashley Furniture Home Store, in Kirkwood on Manchester Road and in South County on Lima Ferry. That's your look at local news for the 8 o'clock hour. I'm Patrick Brandmeyer for Radio Free St. Louis.
Good morning, St. Louis. 7 minutes after the hour of 8 o'clock at 920 WGNU. I'm Howard Morton with a look at this hour's traffic and weather. This hour's traffic is sponsored by Eckert's Peaches. Northbound Zumbel at 70, there's a report of an accident, possible stop-and-go traffic. Northbound 55 between 270 and Carondelet, nothing to report. Eastbound 44 between 141 and 270, expect normal traffic for your 8 a.m. commute. Eastbound 40 between 141 and 270, you've got slow traffic. Eastbound 70 from Earth City Expressway all the way into 170, expect normal traffic. Northbound 270 from Gravoy to Marshall, look for heavy volume there. Westbound 270 from Chain of Rocks Bridge all the way into West Florissant, you've got slow volume there as well. Westbound 40 at Kings Highway and 170, nothing to report. Eastbound 40 between 170 and Hanley, however, you have stop and go traffic this hour. Your bridge approaches look like this. Westbound 5570 split from the 4th Street on the PSB. It is slow this hour. Westbound 64 to the 5570 split and the PSB. Look for slow volume there as well. Westbound Kingbridge traffic from the Illinois Bank to Memorial Drive. Everything is flowing freely in. And northbound Route 3, those approaches onto the Poplar Street Bridge are
slow this and stack this hour. Pershall at North Elizabeth, there's a report of an accident that has been cleared, but you may see a brief slowdown. Eastbound Olive at Broadway is closed due to security incident. Police are investigating a suspicious package. 4th Street at Pine is also blocked due to this incident, so be wary of that as you head downtown. This hour's traffic has been sponsored by Eckert's Peaches. Nothing says summer quite like peach picking at Eckert's. So bring the whole family to Eckert's for tractor rides, you pick your own peaches, fun corral, and more. For more information, go to Eckert's.com for more details. Now taking a look at your WGNU forecast for today, tomorrow, and Friday. Hot and humid today, partly sunny. 20% chance of showers this afternoon. High in the mid-90s. The highest heat index is expected to reach around 102 by this afternoon. This evening, partly cloudy at 20% chance of showers with a low around 70. For Thursday, pretty much the same. Hot and humid, partly sunny. 20% chance of showers. High in the mid-90s. The heat index is expected to be around 101 by Thursday afternoon. Thursday evening, partly cloudy with a low in the lower 70s. And on Friday, still pretty much the same. Hot and humid, partly sunny. High in the mid-90s. The heat index is expected to reach around 100 degrees by Friday afternoon. Currently at the studios of AM 920 WGNU, we have 82 degrees under sunny skies with haze. Lambert Field is reporting 80 degrees and sunny skies with haze as well. Stay tuned for more of Liz Brown and the award-winning Wake Up Call. That's up next. She interviews Rebecca Roos, the program director for PEER. That's up next. We'll take another look at your traffic and weather in the bottom of the 8 o'clock hour. I'm Howard Morton for AM 920 WGNU.
I think I'm hearing revolution in the air.
Welcome back, welcome back, welcome back to the Wake Up Call. Liz Brown, living my life as an African and loving it. 454-0400 is my phone number. 454-6609 is my fax. You need to get up. You need to get to me. We have much, much, much to talk about. These are amazing times that we live in. It's almost a topsy-turvy world. up is down, down is up, left is right, right is left. And it's black and white and no gray. I just find myself slack-jawed with the story that we are fixing to bring to you this morning. That that the Environmental Protection Agency wanted to use data from experiments that would expose human subjects to toxic chemicals. Underscore protection. Environmental protection. And we have to protect ourselves against the desires of the Environmental Protection Agency. These are crazy times. These are absolutely crazy times. To facilitate this conversation about where we are with the EPA in the banning of pesticides on human experiments, I have joining us from Washington, D.C., Rebecca Roos, Program Director for PEER. Rebecca, good morning.
Good morning.
These are crazy times, aren't they?
Yes, yes, these are crazy times.
These are crazy times. Take us back. Take us back to what the EPA wanted to do.
Well, I qualify that a little and say what they still intend to do.
Okay.
On many levels.
Okay.
And the big subject here is using human subjects in scientific research at the agency, at the Environmental Protection Agency, and also in private sector or at universities doing research that would then be used by the Environmental Protection Agency. And as soon as you say human subjects, could be intentional dosing of pesticides or other toxic chemicals, having humans swallow a pesticide capsule with a glass of orange juice at breakfast, or inhale high concentrations of tear gas through a chamber or tubes leading directly into their nose. Those are some of the most grabbing examples of human subjects testing. But it's important to note, too, that when we're talking about EPA and what they're doing, what they would like to do to clarify their rules on what they need to do when they're using human subjects and draft new rules for what they need to do when using human subjects. It's not just those extreme cases of dosing that I just described. Those are of huge concern, and also of concern that shouldn't be forgotten is less intrusive means of using human subjects.
For example,
something that I know you're familiar with, Liz, there was a study that was canceled, but just late 2004 and into 2005, EPA was planning to collaborate with the American Chemistry Council to test pesticide exposure of infants and toddlers in Duval County in Florida. And there they weren't technically going to be having children
swallow pills. Swallow pesticide pills.
Right. What they were going to be doing was ensure that all of the children and families participating in the study were spraying, aside from a few families that would have been a control group without any pesticide application. But for the most part, they would ensure that the families would spray a certain amount of pesticides in the home and in the rooms where the baby spends the majority of their time, around the floor where they play and their cribs. And
Jesus.
There, that's not by the scientists. When you talk to scientists and the folks that were involved in that study in planning it and designing it, they will tell you that that's not an intentional dosing study. It's nonetheless a human subject study, no question about that. And that one in particular is even of greater concern because it deals with such a vulnerable class of humans, being infants.
Being constantly exposed to pesticides in every part of their life.
Yes. Yes, because you're right, that study even involved daycares. They didn't miss a beat. If the child spends a lot of their time at a daycare, then the researchers would include the daycare and pesticides applied there and what they were would have been looking at in the study.
And I just, Rebecca, I've just been thinking a little bit about this because this obviously this is coming, the EPA has the support of the administration on these policies, or at least the administration is certainly not opposing these policies.
No, not at all.
And these practices. Isn't it interesting that we have this big fight over stem cell experimentation? And there's a lot of concern, and people are out on Front Street saying that we should not be able to that that's messing with life. Yet it is still, we have the EPA over here experimenting on life.
Yeah, it almost seems as though we're not as concerned with life once the life is clearly
outside
developed
of, yeah.
with us. Yeah, it's a little ironic, I guess you could say, that this type of policy is being promoted by this administration.
At the same time that they're losing their minds over experimentation that actually we have scientific evidence about what it can lead to. The positive things, because experimentation with pesticides is not a positive thing.
No. No,
it is not a life enhancing.
Motivated.
It's industry motivated, and it's not life enhancing.
No,
these are crazy times.
They're chemicals designed to kill.
There you go. So it's okay to experiment with chemicals that are designed to kill, but it's not okay to experiment with stem cells that could enhance the life and elongate the life of human beings that are here.
Yes.
Okay, I just want to be clear, Rebecca.
That's clear as it gets.
So continue.
Okay, so I've laid out what we're talking about, the human subjects research. Now, what EPA wants to do is they're in the process of working toward new rules that would guide all EPA personnel in human subjects research. And there are several different types of human subject research that are in play. One is research that's done wholly, entirely by the agency. That's one kind, in-house research. The second kind is like CHEERS, the study of that was canceled, mm-hmm. the children's pesticides in Florida. That is where you have EPA working on the research and collaborating with one or more partners, like the American Chemistry Council. And the third kind is when it's done wholly, entirely by a third party, not the agency, by researchers at a university or medical school, by...
In a controlled facility of theirs?
Yes. Okay. It could be any facility that of the choosing of the third party that's conducting the research.
Okay.
Dow Chemistry or Dow Chemical Company could be a third party researcher doing human subjects research. And the reason that EPA is concerned with what third parties are doing and should be concerned with what third parties are doing is because those researchers can do a study on a pesticide. And oftentimes it's a industry designed and orchestrated study, and it's of a chemical produced by that same industry. And then they can submit the results of that research to the agency, and the agency then has the opportunity to decide whether or not they want to accept the data and use it to inform some sort of regulation or registration or other decision at the agency having to do with that chemical that was tested. So EPA right now is looking at what are our rules and guidelines that we have to follow and that for human subjects research, and what are the rules and guidelines that we're going to impose on third parties who want to submit their data to us. That's what they're in the process of doing. And the Senate has recently gotten involved, which adds another element to the ongoing discussion. And any day now, it could be, you know, probably within the next few weeks to a month or two, EPA will be handing down and publishing publicly their proposed rule for all of this, these different types of human subject studies.
And what are your concerns? What do you anticipate can you anticipate what the Environmental Protection Agency is going to do in their proposed rules? What do you think is going to happen?
Well, we have a lot of clues to go by at this point, and one is public notice that the EPA published in February that sort of outlined what their policy is right now for testing human subjects and what they plan to maybe possibly do in the future. And that indicates, well, that notice in February raised several concerns, and I'll sort of get to the specifics of that in a moment. The other clues that we have are that final notice included an opportunity for the public to comment on what the EPA had stated it's doing and is thinking about doing. And at the end of the time for public comment, EPA made several additional statements about what it plans to do. And then also a clue is what EPA has been instructed to do by the Congress. Very recently, and I won't get into the nitty-gritty legislative specifics of this, but the budget for EPA has recently passed Congress. And included in that budget is a little amendment that deals specifically with this subject. And the House and Senate both had their own language on the table for limiting, essentially, what EPA can do on human testing. And what came down, what's now in the final budget that is binding on the EPA is something that tells them that they need to make their final rule that I've been referencing, that we're expecting, you know, to see the proposed version very shortly. They have to make their final rule within 180 days.
180 days of this piece of legislation?
Of the enactment of that piece of legislation,
okay.
Yes. And so it's a very short timetable, 6 months, and the process for publishing a proposed rule and allowing the public opportunity to comment fully, and then the agency considering those comments, and then finally publishing the final rule, all of that has to happen in the next 6 months. And there are qualifications in the language of this amendment on what the agency needs to include in its rule.
Okay.
So, it's very interesting.
Well, and so what are some of the qualifications?
The qualifications
are they hopeful? Do they add some protections? Are they good?
There's some of it that's definitely good. That would, if EPA takes it seriously.
How binding is this on EPA?
Well, it's binding in that they have to do it. Now, are they going to try to weasel around it or go on the most narrow interpretation? Perhaps. I think I'm quite cynical. That's what I expect. There's always, with any piece of legislation, an opportunity for one side to say their interpretation of the language.
So what are you hopeful about that's coming out of this?
Let's start with what's good. That's a good place to start. What's good about what could come out of this is the amendment references sources of ethical protections for human subjects that are stricter than what EPA has in place right now. And those sources include a study done by the National Academy of Sciences in 2004 at the request of EPA, in fact, that gives many recommendations to the agency for how they need to have stricter protections for human subjects. So that's one source that the Congress is telling the EPA to implement those recommendations. That's good. It also tells the agency to include principles from international law, the Nuremberg Code.
Mm-hmm.
Yep, that came out of the test done on prisoners in the concentration camps.
And we have to hold that thought, Rebecca. We need to take a break.
Sure.
We're talking to Rebecca Roos, Program Director for PEER. She's joining us from Washington, D.C. We're talking about the EPA and human experimentation rules and regulations. I'm Liz Brown. We'll be back. Stay with us.
So the Bible says, and it still is news, Mama may have, Papa may have, but God bless the child that's got his own, that's got his own.
Good morning, St. Louis. 31 minutes after the hour of 8 o'clock at AM 920 WGNU. I'm Howard Morton. We'll look at this hour's traffic and weather. This hour's traffic is sponsored by Prevention Magazine's Premium Vitamins and Supplements. Eastbound Olive at Broadway is closed due to security incident. Police are investigating a suspicious package. Fourth at Pine is also blocked due to this incident. Downtown traffic is in gridlock on Memorial, Market, and 4th Street at this hour. Northbound Zumbo at 70, there's a report of an accident that has been cleared, but there may be a brief delay. Westbound 70 at 94, construction work left lane is closed. Northbound 55 between 270 and Carondelet, no problems to report. Eastbound 44 between 141 and 270, expect normal traffic. Eastbound 40 between 141 and 270, that traffic has returned back to normal. Eastbound 70 at Earth City Expressway and 170, no problems there. Northbound 270 at Big Bend, look for a very heavy volume this hour. Westbound 270 from Chain of Rocks all the way into West Florissant, you've got slow volume there. Westbound 40 between McCausland and Hanley, stop and go traffic. Eastbound 40 between Clayton Warson and Big Bend, look for stop and go traffic as well. Westbound 5570 split from Tudor Avenue onto the PSB, no problems to report. Westbound 64 at 5570 split all the way onto the Poplar Street Bridge. That traffic is easing westbound. Kingbridge traffic from the Illinois Bank to Memorial. Look for normal traffic this hour northbound Illinois Route 3 at the PSB. Look for no problems to report there. Clayton at 40. Those lights aren't working. They are probably on red flash. Eastbound 40 at Ventavanner. That exit is closed due to August. Due to construction work, you can use Kings Highway Market or Grand exits as an alternate. This hour's traffic has been sponsored by Prevention Magazine's Premium Vitamins and Supplements. Prevention, America's most trusted health magazine, is proud to introduce Prevention Premium Vitamins and Supplements. Help achieve optimum health with Prevention, available at GNC and fine independent pharmacies. Now taking a look at your WGNU forecast for today, tomorrow, and Friday. For today, hot and humid, partly sunny, 20% chance of showers and thunderstorms this afternoon, high in the mid-90s. The highest heat index is expected to reach around 102 by this afternoon. This evening, partly cloudy with a 20% chance of showers, low around 70. For Thursday and Friday, pretty much the same. Hot and humid, partly sunny on both days. Chance of showers on both days, high in the mid-90s on Thursday. The highest heat index is expected to be around 101 by Thursday afternoon. On Friday, you can expect a high in the mid-90s and the highest heat index around 100 degrees by Friday afternoon. Currently at the studios of AM 920 WGNU, we have 83 degrees. Lambert Field is reporting 81, both under sunny skies with haze. Stay tuned for more of Liz Brown and the award-winning Wake-Up Call. We'll take another look at your news, traffic, and weather in the 9 o'clock hour. I'm Howard Morton for AM 920 WGNU.
I know the place to shop for all your appliance needs. Sears, 3425 Union, black-owned and black-operated, Jerome Williams. Sears carries the top six appliance brands, Kenmore, Whirlpool, Maytag, GE, Amana, and Frigidaire. Sears also has the latest in electronics, TVs, VCRs, camcorders, and DVD players. Now, if you find a lower price on an identical branded item with the same features currently available at another local retail store, Sears will match that price plus give you 10% off the difference. That's the Sears Price Match Plus policy. So, save yourself a trip. Stop at Sears first and get a low price promise plus a great selection for your home and garden needs. It's all at your local Sears store right there at 3425 Union. Jerome Williams, 389-9700.
Here's the star of the longest yard, Adam Sandler, Paul Crew. Glad to have you on Sports Overdrive. Why this film? Why this particular sports film?
I had no idea what my partner wanted to do. And then the next thing I know, they wrote a script and they were about to shoot it. And they were casting Paul Crew, and I said, well, if we're doing it, I'm playing Burt Reynolds.
Be honest, is it about the craft, or is it about Tay Leone, Courtney Cox, Drew Barrymore, Julie Bowen, all the leading ladies? Come on.
Out of all the women I've worked with, Rock's been the best kisser.
Sports Overdrive, weeknights from 7 to 8 on Radio Free St. Louis, WGNU.
And now, today's diary entry from the Girl Blog from Iraq.
Saturday, August 30th, 2003. My brother, E, was out at 8 a.m. this morning getting gasoline for the car. He came home at 12 p.m. in a particularly foul mood. He had waited in a line of angry, hostile Iraqis for 3 hours. Gasoline lines drive people crazy because prior to the war, the price of gasoline in Iraq was ridiculously low. A liter of gasoline cost around 20 Iraqi dinars when one U.S. dollar equaled 2,000 Iraqi dinars. In other words, 1 liter of gasoline cost 1 cent. We dragged E out of the house at 12:30 to go visit my aunt on the other end of the city. We heard the usual instructions before we left. Stop at checkpoints, return before dark, and if anyone wants the car, give them the keys. Don't argue, don't fight it. We climbed into a battered, old, white 1984 Volkswagen. People are avoiding using nice cars that might tempt hijackers. Nice is anything made after 1990. I mentally debated putting on the sunglasses, but decided against it. No need to attract any undue attention. I said a little prayer to keep us safe as I rummaged around in my bag, checking for my weapon. I can't stand carrying a pistol, so I carry around a big red switchblade hunting knife. You don't want to mess with Riverbend.
Riverbend, the girl blog from Iraq, was a computer programmer before the war. Not anymore. In her diary of the occupation, she describes daily the new, confined way of life, especially for women amid the mayhem.
Ever wonder why everyone cries at weddings? Sometimes it's from sheer joy. Other times it's because you and your family are overwhelmed by all the preparations for your big day. Visit the exclusive Bridal Fest, 10 a.m. to 9 p.m. Saturday, August 13th, and noon to 6 p.m. Sunday, August 14th at St. Clair Square in Fairview Heights. See the latest in fashion and formal wear. Discover imaginative touches for your wedding and reception. Everything you need for a memorable day. Admission is free, and you can register for an opportunity to win thousands of dollars in special gifts and prizes. One entry per bride-to-be, please. That's Saturday, August 13th from 10 a.m. to 9 p.m. and noon to 6 p.m. Sunday, August 14th. The exclusive Bridal Fest at St. Clair Square in Fairview Heights. Sponsored in part by Patty Cakes of Highland, Night Magic Entertainment, and Radio Free St. Louis, AM 920 WGNU. Get more information on the World Wide Web at spcshows.com. This is a Specialized Promotion Concepts production.
Thursday morning at 8, Cindy Sheehan, co-founder of Gold Star Families for Peace, joins us on the wake-up call from her encampment outside President Bush's ranch in Crawford, Texas. Cindy has been trying to see President Bush for the last several days in an effort to make him explain why the war in Iraq is a noble cause when it's based on a lie. Cindy lost her own son in the Iraq War last year. Now, Cindy and her group are being threatened with arrest on Thursday for posing a risk to national security. It's late-breaking, it's live, and it's only on the wake-up call with Liz Brown, Thursday morning at 8, the showdown in Crawford.
A voice for those that should be heard. This is the award-winning wake-up call with Liz Brown.
Welcome back. Welcome back to the Wake Up Call. This is Liz Brown. Please don't forget our number here is 1-877-920-WGNU. That's 1-877-920-9468 or 454-0400. Or you can email me at revolution@lizbrown.com. Don't forget we broadcast live on the World Wide Web at www.wgnu.net or lizbrown.com. Check out the website. My column under this week under Through Brown Eyes is Never Got To. Oh, my goodness. We have all kinds of stuff to talk about. 454-0400 is the phone number. 454-6609 is my fax. And the column this week is Justifying Disobedience to God. Never Got To was last week's column. So check it out. Check out the Blogitude, Blogitude STL. Check out the Blanket Drive. Check it all out at Liz Brown, LizzBrown.com. This morning we are talking about how Congress is involved in attempting to curb the rules and regulations of the EPA as they pertain to human testing, human experimentation. To facilitate this conversation, I have joining us from Washington, D.C., Rebecca Roos, Program Director for PEER. Rebecca, welcome back.
To make sure that, you know, when we're talking about sort of the current stage of what's going on and, you know, some of the unknowns and with what EPA is ultimately going to try to do with their rules for protecting human subjects, I don't want to sort of jump over the reason for all of this.
Mm-hmm.
And I think it's really important for the public to understand why any of this is being done in the first place. And, you know, anytime I'm talking to someone about it, one of their first questions is usually just why?
Mm-hmm.
Why test pesticides on humans? Why is EPA involved in testing pesticides on humans? Why does anyone want to do this? So I'd like to sort of just switch gears to that real quick. And the main reason why, it's sort of the same old story. It's about money and politics. And we have become a society dependent on lots of toxic chemicals and lots of pesticides for the food that we eat and the products that we buy. And it's a huge industry. And it's an industry tied to, chemical companies and agriculture, and the ag industry is very influential in this country. And in order to have all these chemicals and pesticides on the market, they have to be reviewed, approved, and registered by the Environmental Protection Agency. So everything has to go through the EPA, and in order to do that, there has to be a certain amount of known information about all of these substances. So testing is necessary for the public health. And the interesting thing about how we get to testing on humans and how we get to testing on humans without adequate ethical protections is an effort by the interested industry parties to increase the amount of toxicity that they can show is safe for human exposure. In other words, if they can do research on humans that shows that, we can safely be exposed to 10 times what we thought was safe from an animal study, for example, then we can sell more chemicals. We can go to the EPA and have our registration, our rules for what we can do with this chemical altered to allow us to sell more potent chemicals and so forth. And we're getting into a place now where this administration is devoted to the chemical and agricultural industries to try and help make it easier to use humans as research subjects.
In order to benefit the chemical companies, the pesticide companies.
Yes.
Let me get to a caller here, please.
Sure.
Scott, you have a question for our guest, Rebecca Roos.
Yes, ma'am. Good morning.
Good morning.
I was just thinking you guys were speaking. I remember back in around 63, when my unit was sent to Nevada for testing the nuclear fallout, and I was not allowed to go. But a lot of my guys that I was in service with have since died from cancer and different diseases. And I sent you a fax, Liz, and it just seems ironic that might tie into the things that you're speaking of today.
Okay.
Okay, you have a blessed day.
All right, Scott. Human experimentation by the government is not unusual, is it?
No, it's not unusual.
But the EPA being involved in this way is?
The EPA making such strides to
accommodate the chemical company.
And open its doors to, pretty much any kind of testing on humans. That's a new development. EPA has been doing tests on humans for a long time, just as our Food and Drug Administration has been doing drug trials on humans for a long time. So, the military's involvement in using humans in different kinds of dangerous studies, that it's not new. What's of particular concern now is we see the government moving away from protections for human subjects that it's been saying for years are required in order to have an ethical, safe test involving humans. And now we're trying, we see the EPA trying to move away from those and weaken them or pussyfoot around them in order to say, well, maybe this type of protection doesn't apply here, or we'll encourage it, but we won't require it. That is startling, and it, EPA is out on its own, as far as we know, of all the federal agencies that involve human subjects.
And we've got to take a break. I'm talking to Rebecca Roos, Program Director for PEER. She's joining us from Washington, D.C., EPA, Human Experimentation, Chemical Companies Involvement. I'm Liz Brown. Stay with us.
If you think it's hot now, just wait till next Tuesday. A three-hour wake-up call special dealing with the racial divisiveness in the St. Louis Fire Department. Liz Brown will examine why the Black Firefighters Organization was formed, which is a story in itself, and why they're shying away from merging with their white counterparts. Do they need each other? This will be the first time that these two organizations have talked about their positions in a public forum. To gain a full understanding about the City Fire Department's internal struggles, be dial side to the wake-up call next Tuesday morning from 6 to 9 for one of the most provocative discussions you have ever heard.
Do they play jazz in heaven? In New Orleans, we know they do.
If your family hasn't been to New Orleans, y'all haven't lived. Visit NewOrleansOnline.com to plan your trip to Six Flags New Orleans, Audubon Zoo, Aquarium of the Americas, and more. Hop on the new Canal streetcar line, see gators up close, and roll in a riverboat down the mighty Mississippi. Visit NewOrleansOnline.com today for great hotel rates and a free Good Times guide with more than $2,400 in coupons. And jazz up your family's next vacation in New Orleans.
You know, if there's a paradise, it's an afternoon in Jackson Square. But if they play jazz in heaven, darling, it's standing room only up there.
NewOrleansOnline.com, happening every day.
Akbar Electric, commercial, industrial, residential, 3737 North Kings Highway, 382-2568. 382-2568. Any and all electrical installation and rehab, basic service installation, light fixtures, dusk to dawn lighting, motion sensors, no job is too big, no job is too small. 35 years of experience. Akbar Electric. Give them a call. 382-2568.
This is your wake-up call, global news update. Dateline, Tokyo. China and Japan are exchanging words over plans by China to drill for natural gas in a disputed area of the East China Sea. A Japanese trade minister says a construction company is already laying out piping to start exploring the large gas reserves believed to be in that area. The current dispute is part of a long-running disagreement over who has the rights to those areas under the East China Sea. A UN resolution allows both countries to claim an exclusive economic zone 200 nautical miles from their shores. But China says that zone is based on its continental shelf, which runs into the area Japan says it controls. This dispute comes at a time when the two countries are already at odds over other political issues. And Dateline Crawford, Texas. The Secretary of the Treasury says that the country's strong economic growth is not benefiting Americans without college degrees. John Snow also says that savings rates among low-income Americans are not what they should be. The Congressional Budget Office released a study this week that clearly shows huge declines in the workforce since the 2001 recession, and that recovery from those job losses has been much slower than previous recoveries were. Snow said, though, that the economic news really is good because over 200,000 new jobs were created last month, factory orders went up, and business is investing in more equipment and software. He also forecast an expanding economy through the rest of the year. Meanwhile, another report shows that housing prices went up much faster than salaries for low and moderate income workers. The median price of a new home went up 20% in the last year and a half to the current level of $225,000. That's pushing the dream of a family's owning a home out of the reach of many segments of American society. At that price, an annual income of $70,000 is needed to make a purchase if you consider there has to be a 10% down payment. This is your wake-up call global news update. Thursday morning at 8, Cindy Sheehan, co-founder of Gold Star Families for Peace, joins us on the wake-up call from her encampment outside President Bush's ranch in Crawford, Texas. Cindy has been trying to see President Bush for the last several days in an effort to make him explain why the war in Iraq is a noble cause when it's based on a lie. Cindy lost her own son in the Iraq War last year. Now, Cindy and her group are being threatened with arrest on Thursday for posing a risk to national security. It's late-breaking, it's live, and it's only on the wake-up call with Liz Brown, Thursday morning at 8, the showdown in Crawford. It's the information you need to know about but can't find anywhere else on the dial. The award-winning wake-up call with Liz Brown.
I know I'm praying for much too much, but could you send back the only man she loved? I know you don't do it usually, but dear Lord, she's dying to dance with my father again.
Welcome back. Welcome back to the Wake Up Call. This is Liz Brown. I am talking to Rebecca Roos, Program Director for PEER. She's joining us from Washington, D.C. We're talking about the EPA, human experimentation, rules and regulations, and chemical companies. Rebecca, let's get to another caller here.
Okay.
Lindsay, you have a question or comment?
Yes, good morning.
Good morning.
I'm glad that your guest is on. Because I want to ask two or three questions. I wanted to know, isn't this the same kind of genocide that Hitler engaged in? And doesn't this remind us of the Tuskegee experiments? And where are the subjects coming from? The prisons? Or are they where they are controlled facilities? Are any of these people at EPA and in government using their children? And what about this Dow Chemical Company? Isn't that the same one that killed about 20,000 people in Bhopal, India? Those are some of my questions.
All right. Thank you, Lynn.
Thank you.
She brought up a lot of really good points about the context of what EPA is doing. And you know, the subjects are coming from, well, it could be anywhere but the homes of the scientists that are designing the studies, I would guess.
Are we reaching into our prisons? Are we getting prison people? Are we holding this up as an opportunity for people that are incarcerated?
I haven't seen any studies that involved prisoners. However, EPA has deliberately declined to adopt stricter standards that would protect prisoners as subjects. That the Department of Health and Human Services, that houses the National Institutes of Health and the Food and Drug Administration, has an additional protection for prisoners. EPA has not adopted that, along with additional protections for children, pregnant women, and fetuses. All of those protections, including prisoners, that apply to human subject studies in Health and Human Services do not apply right now to studies done at the EPA. So that is a vulnerable population.
Mm. And we have about 2 minutes left here, Rebecca. Where do we stand? And what should people be doing and be concerned about?
Right. You know, the message that I want to make sure gets through is that this is just continues to heat up. And that's actually a good sign. It's not going to go away tomorrow. And so people can just need to keep up on what the EPA is doing. One way they can do that is to check our website periodically. We'll be posting updates on what's happening at the EPA. Our website is www.peer.org, peer, P-E-E-R, Republic Employees for Environmental Responsibility. And although this is right now at the agency level and kind of out of the hands of our elected officials, it doesn't mean that you can't call your elected officials, your senators, your representatives, and ask them to make sure the EPA is held accountable to the recent amendment on human subject testing and the ethical rules and protections of domestic and international law. Stay involved, stay informed, and if any questions people have, they can contact me here at Peer in Washington, D.C. My contact information is also on the web. You can be called at 202-265-7337.
Rebecca Roos, thank you so much. Program Director for Peer, thank you for joining us on the Wake Up Call.
Thanks for having me, Liz.
Take care. Listen, folks, this is Liz Brown. We'll be back to talk about CAFTA, what it means, how it's going to impact us. Stay with me.
WGNU, Granite City, St. Louis. 920 on your AM dial.
Here's the latest from ABC News. I'm Clarissa Douglas. The head of the Tennessee Bureau of Investigation says it's like Bonnie and Clyde, the manhunt for prison inmate George Hyatt and his wife Jennifer. She drove up to the county courthouse yesterday as he was being led away. Police say she shot and killed a police officer during the getaway. More from ABC's Jessica Yellen in Kingston, Tennessee.
Authorities say they do have leads. The suspect has family members in the state who could be hiding the couple. George Hyatt still had shackles on when he escaped, and Jennifer Hyatt may have been wounded when officers fired at her as she fled.
Jessica Yellen reporting. Jonesboro, Arkansas is getting ready to revisit a horrible event. 7 years ago, Mitchell Johnson took part in a school shooting that killed four students and a teacher. Tomorrow, Johnson turns 21, which means he's eligible for release. Mitch Wright lost his wife Shannon in the gunfire.
7 years is a very short time, especially when you can shoot 15 people, kill five, take away their lives. It's not justice.
Johnson and the other shooter, Andrew Golden, were sentenced under juvenile laws that stipulate young inmates can be held only until they're 21. Four U.S. soldiers were killed, six wounded in northern Iraq today when their patrol was attacked by insurgents, and there's been another attack.
We have had a report now of a car bomb in Baghdad killing several Iraqis, a car bomb that was apparently a suicide car bomb targeting a U.S. military patrol. So far, there are only reports of Iraqi civilians and police officers killed.
ABC's Miguel Marquez reporting from Baghdad. Author Judith Rossner has died at a New York City hospital. She wrote 10 novels, including Looking for Mr. Goodbar, which was made into a movie, and Emmeline, which was turned into an opera. Judith Rossner was 70. This is ABC News.
Okay, Sandra, are you ready for your home's makeover?
Yes!
Okay, we're done.
But you just changed a light bulb.
But wait.
Wow, the walls look brighter, the furniture looks fabulous, the colors are more vibrant.
That's Philips Natural Light at work. Philips Natural Light gives you remarkable light, bringing out the true colors in your decor. It's a makeover with a twist. See what's possible in your home with Philips Natural Light. Philips, sense and simplicity.
Come in and save 10% on all Philips Natural Light products at the Home Depot this month.
millions of miles, thousands of TV appearances, hundreds of baseball games, 80 years of history, and a fleet of Goodyear blimps all add up to one big celebration. The Goodyear Blimp Birthday Celebration, with sky-high savings on some of Goodyear's most popular tires. Plus, get up to an $80 rebate on a qualifying purchase. Offers end August 27th. Call 1-800-GOODYEAR for complete details and the participating retailer nearest you. Goodyear. For 80 years, it's been the name everyone looks up to. Mail-in rebate offer subject to credit approval. Restrictions apply.
About 300 people who live in Wayne, Michigan, a suburb of Detroit, are waiting for word to return to their homes. They were evacuated last night as a precaution after an explosion and fire at a chemical plant in nearby Romulus. ABC's Ken Rogaluski with more.
The fire at the EQ Resources and Recovery Plant in suburban Romulus, Michigan, continues to burn. The initial explosion and resulting fireball were so bright, weather satellites circling the globe recorded the event. Meantime, officials at the scene say the fire is so fierce that steel tanks that held the various chemical products have melted. The company blends fuels and recycles solvents.
No reports so far of any injuries. Thousands of tourists along Spain's Mediterranean coast are hugging the sand because the surf has been invaded by a flotilla of jellyfish. Lifeguards have reportedly treated almost 11,000 beachgoers for stings, and one town had to cancel an annual swimming race. Clarissa Douglas, ABC News.
Good morning, St. Louis. This is Patrick Brandmeier with your WGNU News Update for the 9 o'clock hour. In the news this Wednesday, Harrah's St. Louis Casino and Hotel is expressing concern over the proposed smoking ban in St. Louis County. In a statement issued last night, Fred Stuckel, Harrah's Director of Regulatory Compliance, said, quote, "We believe jobs, along with customers, revenues, and tax dollars, could be lost to adjacent counties and cities if this measure is enacted." The Indoor Clean Air Act would ban smoking in most indoor public places in St. Louis County, with some exceptions. The ordinance is up for perfection next week, and if it clears that step, a final vote is slated for August 23rd. Officials from the Missouri and Illinois Departments of Transportation are working together to make changes to the Mississippi River Bridge project. The two departments held a meeting last night to inform the public about a revaluation of the project due to funding issues. Teresa Price of IDOT explains how the project will impact people on the Missouri side of the river.
Actually involves the relocation of I-70, which will then go across the new Mississippi River Bridge. There will also be a new I-70 interchange on the Missouri side.
The project is currently budgeted at $1.6 billion, but that will likely be revised downward due to less funding in the federal highway bill. Price says this project is important to the transportation infrastructure in Missouri and Illinois and across the country. Fatty foods may sabotage the body's own defense against overeating. Penn State researchers say that in rat studies, those fed a high-fat diet seemed to lose their sensitivity to a hormone released to indicate fullness. For their study, rats were divided into two dietary groups. Those fed a low-fat diet stopped eating treats when injected with the hormone that tells the brain that the body has had enough food. However, the rats on the high-fat diet kept eating away despite introduction of the trigger. Researchers note in the Journal of Nutrition that it's very likely these findings in rats translate to humans. Finally this hour, a Chicago woman celebrated her 118th birthday yesterday, making her the oldest living citizen of the United States. Roberta Weston was honored by Mayor Richard Daley at City Hall. According to the Guinness Book of World Records, Weston still has a way to go to set the all-time record. The oldest human age ever recorded is 122. This WGNU News Report is brought to you by Fazoli's. Try Fazoli's new Italian meat sampler for only $3.99. And enjoy Fazoli's new cinnamon or cheese breadsticks, only 49 cents for two with entree. That's your look at local news for the 9 o'clock hour. I'm Patrick Brandmeier for Radio Free St. Louis.
Good morning, St. Louis. 7 minutes after the hour, 9 o'clock at AM 920 WGNU. I'm Howard Morton with a look at this hour's traffic and weather. This hour's traffic is sponsored by Tropicana Pure Premium Orange Juice. Eastbound Olive at Broadway is closed due to a security incident. Police are investigating a suspicious package. 4th Street at Pine is also blocked due to this incident. Downtown traffic is in a gridlock at Memorial Market and 4th Street this hour. Eastbound 70 at Kings Highway, disabled vehicle on the ramp. Westbound 70 at 94, look for construction work, has left lane closed. Northbound 270 at Big Bend, the traffic has returned back to normal. Westbound 270 at Chain of Rocks and West Florissant, that traffic is finally easing up this hour. Westbound 40 between McCausland and Hanley, look for stop-and-go traffic. Eastbound 40 between Clayton Warson and Big Bend, you have stop-and-go traffic there as well. Westbound 5570, that split from Tudor Avenue onto the Poplar Street Bridge, no problems to report. Westbound 64 at the 5570 split and the Poplar Street Bridge, everything is on the move. Westbound Kingbridge traffic from the Illinois Bank to Memorial Drive is flowing freely. However, you do have a brief slowdown due to the incident in downtown at this hour. Northbound Route 3 onto the Poplar Street Bridge, those approaches have returned back to normal. Clayton Avenue at 40, look for the traffic lights not to be working, and northbound Memorial at Market, that incident is cleared, but is slowed due to the downtown security incident. Also, westbound 40 between Tucker and 14th Street Bridge construction have two lanes closed this hour. This hour's traffic has been sponsored by Tropicana Pure Premium. Tropicana's invigorating nutrition and fresh-squeezed taste can make anyone feel like a morning person. Have a Tropicana morning. Now let's take a look at your WGNU forecast for today, tomorrow, and for Friday. Hot and humid today, partly sunny, 20% chance of showers this afternoon, high in the mid-90s. The highest heat index will reach around 102 by this afternoon. This evening, partly cloudy, another chance for showers with a low around 70. For Thursday, pretty much the same, hot and humid, partly sunny, 20% chance of showers. The highs in the mid-90s, and the heat index should reach around 101 by late Thursday afternoon. Thursday evening, partly cloudy skies once again with a low in the lower 70s. Then on Friday, still the same, hot and humid, partly sunny, high in the mid-90s. The heat index should be around 100 by Friday afternoon. Currently at the studios of AM 920 WGNU, we have 84 degrees. Lambert Field is reporting 82 under sunny skies with haze. Stay tuned for more of Liz Brown and the award-winning wake-up call. That's up next. We'll take another look at your news and your weather in the 10 o'clock hour. I'm Howard Morton for AM 920 WGNU.
The Healthy Family, presented by the Missouri Division of Alcohol and Drug Abuse, reminding you to keep alcohol out of the hands of kids. Learn more at MissouriPrevention.org.
From the moment babies are born, most parents try to keep them healthy. We feed them, keep them warm, give them plenty of attention. But the Missouri Department of Health says there's even more parents should do. Cindy Luthen says that keeping our kids safe and healthy includes making sure they get the right vaccines.
One of the most important ways we can protect our children is to follow the childhood immunization schedule and get them vaccinated against serious but preventable diseases. And that usually starts at birth with the first dose of hepatitis B vaccine. Before the child is age 2, every child should be immunized against 12 potentially serious vaccine-preventable diseases. The vaccines are given at an early age because the diseases they prevent are far more serious or common among babies or young children.
If you don't have a health care provider, your county public health agency will be able to get you the information you need about how often your child should be getting shots and which ones they need. I'm Julie Anderson with The Healthy Family.
I think I'm hearing revolution in the air. I think
it is time for us to use our power. Please do not beg folks for power. Nobody is going to give it to you.
Tonight in Memphis.
say that progress is being made. If you stick a knife in my back 9 inches and pull it out 6 inches, there's no progress. If you pull it all the way out, that's not progress. The progress is healing the wound that's below, that's the low knee.
I think I'm hearing revolution.
Is that not everyone is sharing in this city's splendor and glory. There are more poor than ever, more families in trouble, more and more people who need help but can't find it. They struggle against the common enemies of man, tyranny, poverty, disease, and war itself.
We believe that all men are created equal. Yet many are denied equal treatment.
And so we say to all in this nation who dare listen to us, black, white, Jew, Gentile, Asian, Latino, that we are brothers and sisters in a long and difficult struggle.
Welcome back to the wake-up call. This is Liz Brown, living my life as an African and loving it. 454-0400 is my phone number. 454-6609 is my fax. You need to get up. You need to get to me. We have so much stuff to talk about. 454-0400 is my phone number. I was looking at an article about Howard Dean. Howard Dean pushing up on Democrats to stop acting like you're ashamed of being a Democrat, to start snatching snatching victory instead of snatching defeat. I think about an article that I read about George W. Bush now coming to Congress because he's had so much inexplicable success in Congress, asking for his tax cuts to be made permanent. I think about the things in Congress that are coming at us, the making the Patriot Act permanent, and how that's going to affect and impact our lives. These are challenging times that we find ourselves in, and I think about all of those things wrapped together: non-fighting Democrats, get along, go along, folks, but these big sweeping bills that have huge generational negative impact on all of us. Generational negative impact on all of us. And that brings me to an amazing place. Brings us to an amazing place. This bill that was passed by our good government, our good Congress, our good House, our good Senate. CAFTA, and CAFTA passed by, what is it, one vote? Two votes? One vote? Two votes? That means that there were Republicans that said no to CAFTA, a lot of them. And that there were Democrats that said yes. We need to talk about this. We need to talk about this bill that will have generational negative impact on us. And why we need to be involved politically, because I was raised that there's nothing in life for free. And we're being told that CAFTA is a free trade agreement. Ain't nothing in life free, for real. So we're going to talk about CAFTA and its predecessor, NAFTA. Seven years after NAFTA. We need to talk about the impact of CAFTA, the anticipated impact of CAFTA, the already determined impact of NAFTA, and why we just got took, and what we can do about it. I have joining me this morning on two different coasts. I have Isa Russell, Director of International Policy for Health Gap, joining us from Philly. Asa, good morning. Asa, good morning. Let me see if we've got Jesse Swan.
Hello?
Yes, Asa, are you there?
Yeah, good morning.
And we also have a Jesse Swanheiser, Executive Director for the California Coalition for Fair Trade and Human Rights, joining us from Oakland, California. Jesse, good morning.
Good morning.
How are you?
I'm doing good. Thanks for having me.
It's good to have you both here. Let's start with you, Jesse. Talk to us about what is the definition of CAFTA? What are we being told that CAFTA is about?
Sure. I suppose that depends on who you ask. CAFTA is the Central America Free Trade Agreement. The name, of course, rhymes with NAFTA for very good reason. They are modeled after the same basic corporate approach to globalization. The promises for CAFTA, the exact same as they were for NAFTA. We're being promised jobs in the U.S. We're being promised development for Central America. But as you said, we've been had with the NAFTA example, and I think we all know what to expect from CAFTA. We should not expect that jobs will be created here. If anything, we expect that jobs will be lost, particularly good-paying union jobs here in this country. And the fact that this particular approach to globalization creates development in the third world is absolutely false, not only according to theory, but again, according to a proven record of 12 years of NAFTA. While NAFTA was an agreement with Canada, Mexico, and the United States, CAFTA extends this model southward into Central America and includes Costa Rica, Nicaragua, El Salvador, Honduras, Guatemala, and the Dominican Republic.
And also, isn't CAFTA about putting pressure on countries like Brazil and Venezuela, and particularly Venezuela and Argentina, to do what we tell them to do now that we've gotten these other Central American countries in line with CAFTA?
Yeah, without question. In fact, CAFTA only exists because of a backlash to this corporate model to globalization in South America. In fact, even before the NAFTA agreement was signed, there were already negotiations that had begun about creating a hemispheric-wide NAFTA agreement called the Free Trade Area of the Americas, which would have been from Alaska to Argentina, the entire Western Hemisphere, except for Cuba. We wouldn't want to give Cuba any of the benefits of free trade, of course. And largely due to left-leaning governments, civil society pressure in South America who opposed this particular approach, the Bush administration actually began CAFTA as a stepping stone for achieving the Free Trade Area of the Americas. So without question, CAFTA is designed to serve that purpose.
Baby steps.
Absolutely.
And Asa Russell, Director of International Policy for Health Gap, what are the health components to this? Why is your organization involved in the issue of CAFTA?
In fact, the issue of what the administration is selling to us as free trade is inextricably linked to public health, and particularly an issue that my group works on, access to affordable AIDS treatment. It's pretty important to take a look at what impact CAFTA will have, not only on but also some of the most impoverished people in the CAFTA countries.
How could CAFTA, a Central American Free Trade Act, have any impact on health care in America?
Well, the impact is actually on access to health care and affordable treatment for people in Central America.
Okay.
But it does set a stage for further marginalization of people who already have lack of access to health care in the United States, because it's a further race to the bottom. But the issue is this. Although CAFTA is called free trade, there's a whole chapter in this agreement and in other agreements that are currently under negotiation that are devoted to expanding the monopoly protections that we grant to the multi-billion dollar pharmaceutical industry. And what that means for the Central American countries in the CAFTA is that it will be harder for cost-cutting generic AIDS drugs and other medicines to treat diseases of poverty. It'll be harder for those drugs to reach the market and reach the communities that need them most.
Explain how that works, Asia.
All of these countries are already signatories to the World Trade Organization's stiff rules governing intellectual property protection for drug company patent rights. What CAFTA does is take that already pro-business model and expand it by doing things like lengthening the life of the 20-year patent on essential medicines. It does things like impose 5 to 10 years of data exclusivity, which is essentially a blackout period where generic competitors can't reach the market. It will also make it harder to do things like break a drug company patent monopoly in order to promote access to a more affordable version of a drug using a mechanism called compulsory licensing. It's what our Health and Human Services Secretary threatened to do in 2001 during the anthrax scare, your listeners might remember, because he rightly placed a priority on obtaining access to cheaper versions of the antibacterial drug Cipro. We feel that the most impoverished countries in the hemisphere should have broad access to these pro-development, pro-public health tools, but CAFTA actually snatches them away from these countries. That's not free trade. It's a disgrace.
And, Jesse, with regard to the impact CAFTA on, because Asia was talking about the health component of it, the impact of people to have access to generic drugs. CAFTA also inexplicably has an impact on democracy and governments and how governments run.
Absolutely. I mean, aside from the anti-democratic process that was pushed through the House of Representatives in order to get CAFTA passed, which included all sorts of side deals and arm twisting.
And we'll talk about that in just a few minutes.
Okay. Well, in the meantime then, there was a new sort of constitution for corporate rights that came to bear during the NAFTA process.
And everybody knows that corporations don't have enough protections and rights.
That's right, which is why we work so hard to help them out in these tough times.
There you go.
So in NAFTA, there was a chapter called Chapter 11 of No Relationship to U.S. Bankruptcy Law. And essentially what Chapter 11 allows corporations to do is to second-guess public health, environment, worker health and safety laws that undermine their ability to make profits. And out here in California, we have one of the most egregious examples of a Chapter 11 suit, which really brings light on the idea that these agreements are really corporate rights charters rather than free trade agreements. And in the 90s, a number of communities around California began to have a very strange smell and taste in their tap water. It very quickly was identified as MTBE, which is a fuel additive, something we put into fuel to help the cars burn the fuel cleaner. Well, this fuel additive, MTBE, had leaked into California's groundwater and was actually found in approximately one-third of the freshwater supplies in California. And research indicated that MTBE is a carcinogen and posed significant risk to human health, posed significant risk to our environment. And in 1999, following a very long democratic and scientifically justified process, Governor Davis, then Governor Gray Davis of California, issued an executive order phasing out the use of MTBE. up until that point, we felt like this was standard democracy. It was a little bit slow, seeing as how communities had initially identified the MTBE problem in the early 90s, and it wasn't until 99 that the government actually acted. But nonetheless, that's a pretty typical process by which we go through in order to make public health and environmental decisions. So it seemed like that was the end of the road for this very dangerous situation for California's environment and public until about 3 months following the order by the governor, at which point a private corporation from Canada called Methanex filed suit against the United States of America.
Wait. Canada filed suit against us?
No, it's worse than that. Canada didn't even file suit against us. An individual private corporation from Canada under the NAFTA agreement. Now remember, in terms of providing rights for corporations, Methanex Corporation is not a signatory to the NAFTA agreement. Canada is, but in the NAFTA agreement, we granted massive new rights to corporations, which essentially elevate them to the status of a nation state. Now the U.S. is being sued by a corporation.
That is not a signatory. And explain to folks what that means, not to be a signatory.
Well, they have no responsibilities. Their signature is not on the agreement. The agreement is simply between three nations, but the three nations agreed that in the NAFTA, under NAFTA rules, they would give corporations these vast new rights to, again, second-guess environmental, public health, worker safety laws, and this is exactly what happened with the MTBE example. The U.S. is being sued by a private corporation from Canada because they're claiming that our ban or phase out of MTBE, simply a desire to protect our citizens from getting cancer and saving our environment, represents an illegal trade barrier, and we're actually being sued for $970 million. I'll say that again, $1 billion for not something so tangible as the expropriation of a factory or the takings of some physical part of the infrastructure of Methanex, but rather we're being sued for $1 billion for their loss of future expected profit.
Now I'm an attorney, so this is interesting to me from this perspective. The United States was a signatory, correct?
Correct.
What is going to be the motivation of the United States that signed on to the agreement that said that a company in Canada can sue the United States? How enthusiastic is the United States going to be about defending itself against this lawsuit that it was part of that allowed this company to do it?
Well, and this in terms of just a broader discussion about democracy and free trade, this gets at who's negotiating these agreements.
Yeah.
These are charters of, by, and for the corporation. These Chapter 11 rules that allow corporations to second-guess, democratically pass laws in any of the member nations, this is something that the far right in the United States has been seeking for pretty much since the beginning of this country began. I mean, these were debates about the rights of private property. From the very beginning, it was essentially the root of the Civil War. I mean, we understand it to be other issues, but this was a group of people who felt that African Americans, that slaves were their property. And we fought the Civil War over the idea that, no, this is not private property. These are human beings. This is part of the core fight and struggle about values that's been going on in this country since our very founding. And now what the right wing has been unable to get through the open democratic process in this country has now been reworked, and they've usurped U.S. constitutional law and general American values by putting these things into treaties like NAFTA.
So what is the status of this suit?
It's expected to be settled sometime in the coming months, although...
Is it going to be settled like the tobacco stuff was settled, where they settled in favor of they were defending us against them and then settled in their favor?
Yeah, you know, it's going to be interesting to see what happens. No matter what happens, even if Methanex loses, which is a definite possibility, there will be those NAFTA proponents and corporate CEOs who will say, oh, all of you lefties were concerned about nothing. As you can see, Methanex lost this suit, Chapter 11 type things, which in fact is included in CAFTA's Chapter 10, almost identical provisions. They'll tell us that we were naysayers and overreacted.
The system works.
Excuse me?
The system works is what they
would
say.
Yeah, that's essentially what they'll say. However, what is most frightening is the fact that if Methanex loses, it will not be because their legal argument lacked weight. It will simply be because Methanex only makes the M in MTBE. and there will be a question as to whether or not they have sufficient standing or whether or not it was enough of their property that was essentially expropriated by our desire not to have cancer. And so, again, we're a little concerned about how the media and how politicians will spin this. Ultimately, the precedent set in the Methanex case is frightening. It essentially says yes. Corporations can, in fact, come in.
Foreign corporations.
Foreign corporations. And that's an interesting point, too, because there are, in fact, U.S. Businesses that make MTBE or the M in MTBE, and they have no rights to sue the U.S. under these things. So, in fact, we're granting foreign interests greater rights than any U.S. business has, let alone yourself or myself under U.S. law. And so, again, the precedent that's being set with this Methanex case is absolutely frightening. It is arguably one of the greatest changes to domestic and international law that we've seen in the last 75 years.
We're going to take a break, folks. This is Liz Brown. We're talking about CAFTA, and we're doing it from both coasts of the United States today. We're talking to Asia Russell, Director of International Policy for Health Gap. She's joining us from Philly. And we are talking to Jesse Swanheiser, Executive Director, California Coalition for Fair Trade and Human Rights. He's joining us from Oakland, California. I'm Liz Brown. This is The Wake Up Call. Stay with me.
You're listening to Radio Free St. Louis, WGNU Radio, 920 on your AM dial and at WGNU.net.
Friday morning on The Wake Up Call, firebrand Amy Goodman from Democracy Now! Will be our guest. She's currently crusading to strip the 1946 Pulitzer Prize from the New York Times because the reporter who wrote their prize-winning story about the atomic bombing of Japan was nothing more than a paid government propagandist, and his apologist writing caused a half-century of silence about just how bad the bomb really was. Don't miss Amy Goodman on The Wake Up Call, Friday morning at 8.
You're planning your wedding. You've got stars sparkling in your eyes, wedding bells ringing in your ears, and butterflies dancing in your stomach. Relax, that dream come true. Wedding can be yours. Just visit the exclusive Bridal Fest, Saturday the 13th of August from 10 a.m. to 9 p.m. and Sunday, August 14th from noon to 6 at St. Clair Square in Fairview Heights. No need to rush all over town when you can check out the best in the area's bridal and party industry all at one handy location. See the newest fashions. Get everything you need to make your wedding an event to remember. While you're there, register for an opportunity to win thousands of dollars in gifts and prizes. One entry per bride to be, please. Entertainment all weekend long, and it's free. The exclusive Bridal Fest, 10 a.m. to 9 p.m. Saturday, August the 13th, and noon to 6, Sunday the 14th. Get details at www.sbcshows.com or call 618-236-6926. Sponsored in part by Patty Cakes of Highland, Night Magic Entertainment, and Radio Free St. Louis, AM 920, WGNU. This is a specialized promotional concepts production.
Auditions for the O'Fallon Repertory Theater production of Agatha Christie's The Mousetrap will be held on Sunday, August 14th from noon to 6 p.m. in Civic Hall of O'Fallon, Missouri. Actors must be able to look age 21 or older. To find out more, call 636-379-5606. News for aspiring actors from Radio Free St. Louis.
I know the place to shop for all your appliance needs. Sears, 3425 Union, Black-owned and Black-operated, Jerome Williams. Sears carries the top six appliance brands, Kenmore, Whirlpool, Maytag, GE, Amana, and Frigidaire. Sears also has the latest in electronics, TVs, VCRs, camcorders, and DVD players. Now, if you find a lower price on an identical branded item with the same features currently available at another local retail store, Sears will match that price plus give you 10% off the difference. That's the Sears Price Match Plus policy. So, save yourself a trip. Stop at Sears first and get a low price promise plus a great selection for your home and garden needs. It's all at your local Sears store right there at 3425 Union, Jerome Williams, 389-9700.
And now, today's diary entry from the Girl Blog from Iraq.
Saturday, August 30th, 2003. My brother, E, was out at 8 a.m. this morning getting gasoline for the car. He came home at 12 p.m. in a particularly foul mood. He had waited in a line of angry, hostile Iraqis for 3 hours. Gasoline lines drive people crazy because prior to the war, the price of gasoline in Iraq was ridiculously low. A liter of gasoline cost around 20 Iraqi dinars when one U.S. dollar equaled 2,000 Iraqi dinars. In other words, 1 liter of gasoline cost 1 cent. We dragged E out of the house at 12:30 to go visit my aunt on the other end of the city. We heard the usual instructions before we left. Stop at checkpoints, return before dark, and if anyone wants the car, give them the keys. Don't argue, don't fight it. We climbed into a battered, old, white 1984 Volkswagen. People are avoiding using nice cars that might tempt hijackers. Nice is anything made after 1990. I mentally debated putting on the sunglasses, but decided against it. No need to attract any undue attention. I said a little prayer to keep us safe as I rummaged around in my bag, checking for my weapon. I can't stand carrying a pistol, so I carry around a big red switchblade hunting knife. You don't want to mess with Riverbend.
Riverbend, the girl blog from Iraq, was a computer programmer before the war. Not anymore. In her diary of the occupation, she describes daily the new, confined way of life, especially for women amid the mayhem. Thursday morning at 8, Cindy Sheehan, co-founder of Gold Star Families for Peace, joins us on the wake-up call from her encampment outside President Bush's ranch in Crawford, Texas. Cindy has been trying to see President Bush for the last several days in an effort to make him explain why the war in Iraq is a noble cause when it's based on a lie. Cindy lost her own son in the Iraq War last year. Now, Cindy and her group are being threatened with arrest on Thursday for posing a risk to national security. It's late-breaking, it's live, and it's only on the wake-up call with Liz Brown, Thursday morning at 8, the showdown in Crawford. Informative, educational, provocative. This is the award-winning morning wake-up call with Liz Brown.
Welcome back, welcome back, welcome back to the Wake Up Call. This is Liz Brown. Please don't forget that our show is broadcast daily on the World Wide Web at www.wgnu. You can also get it at lizbrown.com. That's lizbrown.com. This show is archived daily at thewhiterosesociety.org. So if you missed an hour, go get an hour at whiterosesociety.org. Email me at revolution@lizbrown.com. Check out the, we don't have a blog, we have blogitudes. Check out the blogitudes at lizbrown.com. This morning we're talking about the amazing place we find ourselves in, post-CAFTA, post-NAFTA, and we are talking to Asia Russell, Director of International Policy for Health Gap in Philly, and Jesse Swanheiser, Executive Director, California Coalition for Fair Trade and Human Rights, joining us from Oakland, California. And Asia, I'd like to come back to you. You mentioned and it kind of talked a little bit about how CAFTA is going to impact the health concerns of people that live in Central America, but how it will have also have an impact on us. Discuss that for us.
Sure. What we see with CAFTA's provisions around drug company patent rights and other forms of intellectual property rights is that they really put some of the commercial concerns that Jesse was talking about ahead of the basic interests of impoverished people in that region. And then it takes it a step further. CAFTA's rules around intellectual property rights actually exceed the standards that are set out in U.S. law as well. So it exports these pro-drug company intellectual property rights rules that have already burdened low-income people in the U.S., seniors, other vulnerable people in America who need access to affordable medicines, exports it to Central America, and then actually takes some of the shreds of protections that we have been able to establish over the last many years to try to beat back pharmaceutical companies and set them aside. I'll give you a concrete example. these provisions called data exclusivity provisions that actually delay the entry of generic pharmaceuticals to the market actually have a 5-year limit in the United States. The way CAFTA is written, that 5-year limit is actually taken away so that you can foresee 10 years of this blackout period where generics can't enter the market. So it's foreseeable that a drug company based in the United States might feel opportunistic and try to get a member of Congress to enforce this new provision in CAFTA that actually exceeds U.S. law as a backdoor way to actually increase its profiteering right here at home. That's obviously a bad prescription for public health if you're an HIV-positive Guatemalan to the South, or if you're a poor person or a person without health care coverage right here in the United States. And it's, you know, it's very important to drive home the fact that these types of priorities that so many reasonable people had when we were objecting to the Central America Free Trade Agreement are actually being cast by corporate interests as barriers to free trade. And in my opinion, if trade provisions undermine essential human rights, like the right to affordable medicine, then that's a barrier to trade. I mean, obviously, free trade doesn't work if you look at the NAFTA model, but it certainly doesn't work if you're sick or if you're dead.
And, Jesse, let's talk about Congress's role in this. There was some arm twisting. There was some almost cash exchanged on C-SPAN. they were getting at Congress people because this was an extraordinarily close vote.
Absolutely. I like that description, too. Almost cash exchanged on C-SPAN. It unfortunately is not amusing at all. CAFTA and the process by which it was passed in the House really does exemplify politics at its worst. It was a situation where there was many as 50 or 55 Republicans who would have preferred to oppose the agreement, largely because they've seen what has happened with 12 years of NAFTA. Of course, the Democratic Party, not officially, but by and large, was opposing this agreement.
How was the Democratic Party not officially opposing this? How do you do that?
I never quite know what to make of these examples, so I will simply tell you what I have been told, and I will not claim to be so politically savvy as to determine the validity of the argument. But the idea was is that if the Democratic Party made this a partisan issue, that would have simply given the Bush administration yet another tool in their toolkit to tell their fellow Republicans, hey, look, this is an us versus them thing. Whereas if they didn't make it an official party vote, then it didn't look like it was a Democrats versus Republican thing, but rather individual members of the House opposing the agreement.
And how'd that work out for the Democrats?
it didn't work out so well. Ultimately, we lost 15 Democratic votes during the one-hour session that was held open for about 45 minutes longer than the normal and customary 15-minute voting period. And really, it was during that time that folks like Vice President Dick Cheney were actually in the chamber of the House of Representatives cutting deals. And as you say, you know, almost cash exchanges right there. There was, without question, pork barrel promises being made. And the most disgusting part about all of it for me is that people haven't hidden what was going on. It's a legal form of corruption that, as you said, occurred on C-SPAN right there in front of us. And ultimately, you know, CAFTA did not pass on its merits. And I think that is, you know, I've never been one to blame my losses on others or to call a loss a win. Nonetheless, the fact of the matter is the groups and the members of Congress that have been opposing CAFTA really did succeed in not only convincing the public that CAFTA is a bad idea, but we really did convince a majority of Congress that CAFTA was a bad idea. Unfortunately, the threats and the checkbook available to the administration were able to outweigh and outduel us in the end, and they ultimately won by a 2-vote margin. And if it had been tied, as opposed to a 215 to 217 vote, if it had been 216-216, so if just one Congress member had made a different decision, CAFTA would have failed. And ultimately, Robin Hayes, a Republican from North Carolina, switched his vote from no to yes, again, with some arm twisting and some check writing from the administration. And ultimately that sealed the fate of not only the impact of CAFTA in our country, but really sealed the fate for millions of Central Americans.
And we need to take another break. When we come back, I'd like to talk about, we've had over a decade to take, has it been a decade with NAFTA?
It was signed in 93 and went into effect January 1st, 1994.
So we've had a decade of NAFTA. Let's talk about when we come back how that has worked out for us and what we should have known. This is Liz Brown. We're talking about CAFTA. Stay with us. We're going to take a quick break. We'll be back.
To me, summer is family time, a time to spend with the kids doing stuff we all love to do, which is why we go to Worlds of Fun. That and the fact that they have lots of coasters. Mamba, Timberwolf, Spinning Dragons, Boomerang. I like to ride them all. Of course, Worlds of Fun has stuff for the kids, too. Mine loved the new Peanuts Playhouse at Camp Snoopy. They played and played, took a little break, and then played and played some more. Then, if we need to cool off, we go to Oceans of Fun, where we ride the water slides, Typhoon and Diamond Head, and then the tube rides, Caribbean Cooler, Aruba Tuba, and Hurricane Falls. And finally, the wave pool. Another great thing is we can stay the night at the new Worlds of Fun Village Resort. Talk about easy.
Worlds of Fun and Oceans of Fun. Do one park or do both with the ride and slide ticket.
It's so cool.
Open daily. Make reservations for the new Worlds of Fun Village Resort or book your Joe Cool's Backyard Barbecue at worldsoffun.com.
This is your wake-up call, global news update. Dateline Jerusalem. A Jewish radio report yesterday indicates the Israeli army will pronounce the Gaza Strip a military zone closed to settlers, effective on Sunday. The army will allow only settlers to leave, but no entry will be permitted. The report also says settlers who do not leave voluntarily before August 17th will have their homes bulldozed and will lose all of their possessions. The disengagement process begins on Monday with a 2-day grace period before police and the military enforce evacuations. And Dateline Crawford, Texas. President Bush is calling on Congress to make the tax cuts enacted over the past 5 years a permanent thing. He says his economic policy is the reason new jobs have been added and why unemployment has been holding steady. Rising energy prices have caused the president to backtrack on his prediction, however, that the national energy law he recently signed would help cut gas prices. He's now saying that it will not lower the cost of driving. Instead, his Energy Information Office is saying that gas prices will go even higher over the next 4 weeks. Many in Congress are not thrilled about making the tax cuts permanent at a time when Medicare costs are going through the roof because of the expanded prescription drug coverage, plus the cost of waging war on two theaters. This is your wake-up call, global news update.
Hi, folks. This is Decent Guy Don, Ace Black helicopter pilot, your certified conspiracy hunter and all-around decent person. If you want to hear 3 hours of rock'em sock'em beat up on the New World Order crowd, tune in here at WGNU, 9:20 a.m. every Wednesday, 10 o'clock in the morning. We do a no razzmatazz, brass knuckles war on the New World Order crowd. Their house of cards is about to come crashing down, my friends. Come listen to the thunderous crash as we pull the linchpin from the fragile ivory towers of the neocons and insiders in Camp Run Amok every Wednesday morning, 10 a.m. with Decent Guy Don at WGNU, 9:20 a.m., Radio Free St. Louis. Stay tuned.
Burundi, Congo, Ghana, India, Indonesia, Kenya, Liberia, Malawi, Mexico, Myanmar, Nepal, the Philippines, Romania, Russia, Sierra Leone, South Africa, Swaziland, Thailand, Uganda. 20 countries on 4 continents, all with one thing in common. Hope for the Nations is working with children at risk, walking in God's love, listening and sensitively responding to the needs at hand and promoting the interests of others in these diverse locations, with the goal of turning today's orphans into tomorrow's leaders. Learn more about Hope for the Nations and get involved in this worldwide nonprofit outreach. Visit www.hopeforthenations.com. www.hopeforthenations.com. Hope for the Nations since 1994.
Thursday morning at 7, a look at the politics of oil. Did you know that since 1988, oil companies have spent close to $400 million lobbying Congress? Part of their payoff was the Energy Security Act of 2003 that gave billions in tax incentives for oil and gas production, regardless if new wells actually produced any oil. Similar scenarios exist in countries all over the world. Now, since we're in the stage of peak oil production, is energy at any price worth it? You won't want to miss the wake-up call Thursday morning at 7 when Bob Williams, Project Director for the Center for Public Integrity, digs deep into the oil industry's grip on world politics. Anywhere in the world at WGNU.net, the award-winning wake-up call with Liz Brown.
Welcome back to the Wake Up Call, Liz Brown, and I am talking about CAFTA, and we're talking to Asia Russell, Director of International Policy for Health Gap in Philly, and Jesse Swanheiser, Executive Director for the California Coalition for Fair Trade and Human Rights, joining us in Oakland. And Asia, let's talk about NAFTA, for example, because we know that we had a roadmap to look at to see how CAFTA is going to impact. What are some of the health impacts of NAFTA? What has NAFTA done?
We, in the more than a decade that NAFTA has been in effect, we've seen public health indicators get worse in Mexico. This is a matter for great concern. An interesting debate that emerged as we came down to the wire with the CAFTA vote was the audacity of the pharmaceutical industry lobby in the United States, the most powerful lobbying enterprise in the U.S. They actually had the audacity to claim that NAFTA helped make Mexicans more healthy. And actually increased access to affordable essential medicine. Nothing could be further from the truth. And NAFTA's intellectual property rights rules were actually not as strict as the Central America Free Trade Agreement's rules. So we really get a sense from looking backwards at NAFTA at what lies ahead. Diagnosis is not so great. Mexico is a country that, given the right sort of support and given the right kind of focus, can have the infrastructure to provide access to affordable medicine for people with treatable and preventable diseases. But when the interests of the U.S. pharmaceutical companies are put ahead of the interests of ordinary people, that's not something that can happen.
And Jesse, public services, education, healthcare, energy, water utilities, how will they be impacted by CAFTA?
Well, it's different from country to country in the Central American Agreement because different countries made different commitments. But I think that overall it's pretty clear to see that in the same way that the Chapter 10 is a whole new set of rights for corporations and that the fact that represents really, at the core, who negotiated these agreements and who they're for, public services are going to be what we call commodified. They're going to become commodities on the market, only available to those who can ultimately afford them. And so just as Asia is discussing the situation with access and the affordability of pharmaceuticals, generic pharmaceuticals, ultimately what the CAFTA agreement will be is another push, another step towards privatization of essentially all of the public services. And again, some countries offered up water, others did not, so it's difficult and a bit more of a long discussion to get into the specifics. But essentially, according to this model, all things shall be judged based upon how they work according to the market. Mm-hmm. And so education, water, all these things ultimately will become, if this model succeeds, ultimately will become things available only to those who can afford to purchase them.
And how'd that privatization of water work out for Bolivia?
Well, I think Bolivia and many of the other examples going on in South America really is a success story. These are situations where privatization was sold as the solution to having water be accessible to populations that otherwise wouldn't be able to afford it. And in Bolivia, of course, there was the water wars recently. Bechtel was given the rights to sell water so much so, and not even just sell water. In fact, according as I understand it, according to the agreement between Bechtel and the Bolivian government, Bechtel even owned the rainwater that fell onto Bolivia.
Jesus.
But fortunately, what happened was the people rose up. The people said, we are not going to have this. You do not own our resources. And the fact of the matter is the people of Bolivia won, and they kicked Bechtel right out of their country.
But six people had to die for that. I mean, they rioted, they organized, they kicked Bechtel out. But look at the cost that it's taking to do things that should have never been done to begin with.
Yeah, most certainly. It's unfortunate that we are fighting against a beast that exists in all countries and unfortunately in all governments.
So we only have like 2 minutes here. CAFTA's done. It's a done deal. Where do we go from here?
There are several Central American nations who haven't yet signed it. The Dominican Republic, Costa Rica, and Nicaragua have not yet signed the agreement.
Do they still have the option not to sign it?
Yes, certainly, and I think Costa Rica is the only country that really has the potential to refuse it, but the administration will just craft an agreement that excludes those countries, and just as CAFTA was designed to put pressure on South American countries, it's going to be very difficult for any of the Central American countries to really resist this now that it's passed the U.S. Congress.
And Asia, what should we do? What are the things that citizens can still do to impact on this?
Well, I think we have to take a lesson from our allies and our comrades in Central American countries who fought so hard to ensure that their voices at least were heard by their democratically elected officials, if not actually reflected in the votes that they cast.
And
ratified these agreements. I mean, the streets of Guatemala were paralyzed with the protests, including protests by people living with HIV in that country, as they urged their government not to pass Central America Free Trade Agreement.
And we have 15 seconds here. Asia, give us a website, please.
You can find out more at www.healthgap.org.
And Jesse, website?
www.citizenstrade.org.
Asia, Jesse, thank you so much for joining us on the Wake Up Call.
Thank you.
And please continue to keep us informed. Listen, folks, this is Liz Brown. This is the Wake Up Call. I will be back same time, same place tomorrow. Stay strong.
WGNU, Granite City, St. Louis. 920 on your AM dial.
Here's the latest from ABC News. I'm Clarissa Douglas. Members of the 9/11 Commission are looking into allegations the Defense Department had identified Mohammed Atta and three other hijackers before the attacks.
A secret military intelligence unit called Able Danger allegedly identified four of the 9/11 hijackers as members of a terrorist cell more than a year before the attack. Pennsylvania Congressman Kurt